Brian, thanks so much. Hi, everybody. It's me, Bill. Wendy will be in later on today. Just some personal business to take care of, but she will be in later on during the show. And it's a big, full show with a lot to discuss. You know how to reach us. We're at 312-981-7200. I've asked my friend Dave Ennett to stick around for just a little bit because, for those of you who are not aware, the Cubs pulled off some sort of incredible miracle last night. That's what it was, Dave. It was a miracle.
It was a miracle. And you know what? I think there were a lot of people who woke up this morning surprised because they I can't tell you how many people said, it's 5-2, it's the eighth inning, I'm going to bed.
Yep.
And all of a sudden they woke up. How'd that happen?
Would you agree with me that, and not just last night, but through this entire series between the Cubs and the Giants, it was just filled with things that were improbable, that time after time after time, and they would tell you things. They would throw you stats during the broadcast that this just doesn't happen, and then it would happen.
Yeah, I mean, including the comeback last night. Now, was it a miracle? Not really. I mean, this is something the Cubs have done all year.
Yeah.
We shouldn't really be that surprised. I'll be honest with you. I half expected it. Thinking about who they had coming up.
Yeah.
And one of the questions was, would Matt Moore go out to pitch the ninth inning? When it became evident that he would not, then you start to think, okay, this is one of the worst bullpens in baseball. And so maybe this is an opportunity here to do what the Cubs do so well, and that is grind out at bats, really put pressure on opposing pitchers.
Yeah.
And they did exactly that.
Yeah.
And I mean, you look at the at bat by Rizzo to draw the base on balls after the hit by Bryant. I mean, very typical of what we saw all year.
Yep. I'm a box score guy. I've always had this thing where after a baseball game, I like to look at the box scores.
Too.
All right. So I don't know if you've noticed this, but in all the years I've followed baseball, every once in a while, there's a category, blown saves. It mm-hmm. just says BS in the paper, but
yes.
No matter what part of the paper you turn to, you're going to find a little bit of that.
Of
all right. So blown saves. So every once in a while, you'll see a team in a game with two blown saves. And I even remember one time seeing three blown saves in a game, but I don't remember ever seeing five blown saves in one game. Five different pitchers could have potentially have gotten a save in that game last night, and there were five blown saves.
I think they only actually assign one.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
Now, I'm looking at a box score that Will Smith, who is
the left-hander. The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Same one. He's the one who gave up the hit to Contreras.
Yeah.
After Joe Maddon was going to send Chris Coughlin up.
Yeah.
And then Bruce Bochy pulled Romo and put in Smith.
Yeah.
And then he sends the right-hander Contreras up there to hit. And so he had the loss and the blown save.
Oh, he did.
That's a bad night.
That is a very bad night. Bruce Bochy looks like a guy that'd be fun to pal around with, doesn't he?
Yeah, he definitely does. Very light.
Especially after last night's game. If I would have said to him, Bruce, you want to just go to Dave and Buster's? I bet he would have taken me up on
it. I don't think there's any question. You know, he's a great manager. He's an outstanding manager.
Yeah.
I get it. The guy had Tommy John surgery a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He was pitching, and he had a no-hitter going back in August where Bochy went out and said, do you want to stay in here? Because he was already getting up there as far as pitch count.
Yeah.
And you don't want to take any chances with the guy's health, but he said he felt good. He ended up giving up the hit that broke up the no-hitter. But last night, and yeah, it does make sense. He's got guys he thinks are going to get these hitters out.
Right.
The Cubs really haven't done a whole lot offensively the whole night against Moore.
Two hits in eight innings.
But they've done it. There's a pretty good body of evidence telling you that these guys know how to hit. They know how to come from behind. They can score a ton of runs. They outscore their opponents by like 1,000-1 this year. So, I mean, it's like, what are you thinking? I understand why he made the moves he made.
Mm-hmm.
And again, he's got a pretty good body of work of his own.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess he's entitled to have a bad night.
It became a chess match. And, you know, in the previous game, the chess match was won by Bruce Bochy, obviously. He made the right moves at the right time.
Exactly.
And I don't remember too many times where Cubs management hasn't made the right move throughout the season. Maybe trying Aroldis Chapman for six outs instead of three might not have been the best play, but you don't know that.
But it made sense at the time.
Sure it did.
I mean, you could certainly make a case for doing it.
But you know what scared me is because he didn't do well in the previous game, you say to yourself, well, now there's a mental advantage that goes to the Giants because right. they say that's the fastest pitcher in baseball, and we handled him. So you go, uh-oh, what's the residual effect of that? But then last night he comes in for three batters, strikes up all three out. He looks the best he's looked all year.
Right. I wasn't as worried about the leadoff guy, Hernandez, but Denard Span had a big night last night.
Yes, he did.
I just didn't want to see Connor Gillespie get up there in the ninth inning.
I know.
He just...
And Buster Posey, it seems like he batted every inning. Like,
didn't
I watched
it seem like
series.
He was up a lot?
He just batted. Yes. You can't bat twice in a row.
Well,
that's
you
illegal.
Can because he lives in the ballpark. He lives in his locker.
I've seen the commercial. You're right.
Yeah.
Yes, he does. How happy are you for David Ross?
I mean, it's a great story. It's a what a great way to finish your career.
Yeah.
And look, he was all they had going for the first eight innings offensively last night. But the guy is, and he throws out a runner.
Yeah.
He threw out Span, as a matter of fact. I mean, it's just a great feel good kind of story.
I was thinking last night how, you know,
plus he's closest in age.
Right.
To me,
that's a reason. On that team. Well, I said to my family, they call this guy Grandpa, and he's more than 10 years younger than me.
Yeah,
that
right.
doesn't,
what does that
tell doesn't
you?
Help. The way that, if you look at the way Boston's season ended with, you know, Big Poppy kind of, such an amazing career and didn't end on a highlight, you know?
No.
And then I think to myself, I want David Ross's career to end on a highlight. And, you know, his last game at Wrigley Field, he gets the standing ovation and he hits the home run. Now in the playoffs, he hits the very important home run. That's a nice way. If he's going to say goodbye to baseball, that's a nice way to say goodbye.
Sure. And if he doesn't hit that home run and also drive in that second run with a sac fly, then we're not talking about the Cubs winning the game by one run.
Yeah.
Either. So those, even though at the time it didn't look like it was necessarily going to be something that helped determine the outcome.
Right.
It did. Well, he tied the game with a home run.
Yep.
It is a great story. It's too bad in a way that last game at Wrigley, the last regular season game. I mean, it's great that he's playing in the playoffs. Don't
sure.
get me wrong, but how was that for a way to go out when he took the
way.
Curtain call?
I know.
And
I know.
Kind of reminiscent of Kerry Wood's last game when he went out and his son was waiting for him by the Cubs dugout. I mean,
isn't
that's
that
just
nice?
a cool way to end your career. But I bet it's a lot cooler if you're breaking open champagne
no
afterwards.
No question. And what a class move for Joe Maddon to take. I had to explain to my wife why this was such a class move, because managers don't come in and take a catcher out. They take a pitcher out. And that was just a way to say to the fans, here's your last chance. Pay tribute to this guy. That was a nice thing.
And there were people whose sensibilities were bothered by that and purists. No, that's not what you do. Just look, this team has been all about enjoying the moment.
Yeah.
Right from last year.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they seem to really enjoy themselves. They enjoy these celebrations. You know, it's lighten up a little bit.
I know.
It's okay.
It's supposed a game, to be fun.
And it's supposed to be entertainment. It's supposed to be.
Right.
That's what sports are.
Right.
I mean, sometimes we lose sight of that.
Yep. Dave Ennard is sticking around. We're talking about last night's Cub victory over the San Francisco Giants. Who do we play next? Who are we hoping for? We'll discuss that and many other things. If you want to jump in, we'd love to hear from you. It's 312-981-7200. It's Bill Leff. Wendy Snyder will be in later on WGN. Bill Leff, Wendy Snyder will be in later on today. Dave Ennard is sticking around. We're talking about the amazing finish to last night's game. Dave, I think there was a graphic that said that in the history of postseason baseball, the largest margin any team had ever come up with to win the game was three runs. I think that was the Mets, I think.
The 1986 Mets scored three runs in the ninth to tie it and then went on to win in extra innings. I think they won
like a 16-inning game?
16 innings. They beat the Astros. The Cubs had not. How about this? And granted, it's a relatively small sample size if you consider the history of baseball.
Yeah.
But the first time in 106 years that the Cubs trailed after eight innings and won a postseason game.
Oh, wow.
So, and the first time in 111 years that the Giants lost a postseason game when they were leading in the ninth inning.
But that's what I'm saying, is this whole series was filled with these improbabilities that you go, okay, one or two of them, that could happen, but they just kept piling up and piling up.
I mean, even like some of the plays Javi Baez made.
Oh. I mean, a highlight reel.
Yeah, the guy's unbelievable. And then he like drops his piece of gum and manages to catch that and like winks at the camera. I mean, it's just stuff like that.
Here's another weird anomaly. I know that sports are a game of inches. I get that. So Chris Bryant's home run on the previous night makes it literally by inches.
Right.
Last night, there's a ball hit that misses literally by inches.
Was that Crawford who hit it? And it hit like a slanted part
of the wall.
The cement part on the wall.
That's such a weird part of the ballpark, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a well, but it's a high wall. I mean, we saw that the game winner that was hit off that wall and bounced back, and I thought it was gone, but it was only a double.
Yeah. But there were so many elements like that where you go, oh, just a little more or just a little less, and you have a different outcome.
Well, look at the game the night before. Remember, Almora makes that catch that keeps the game going. Now, ultimately, they still won it. But, I mean, there were a lot of plays like that that looked at the moment like they would be game-saving plays.
Right.
I mean, some great defense, I think, both ways
both
in
sides.
The series.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just been a really interesting – I think it's been in the National League, the two National League series and the wild card game in the National League was really good.
Yeah.
The American League, you had two sweeps in the division series.
Both surprise sweeps.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, you wonder that series in the American League, Cleveland and Toronto, we were talking yesterday and Cochran is saying – well, yeah, you're going to get Cleveland or Toronto in the World Series. Well, it's not a time to really get picky about what team you face.
Right. Bring us anybody.
Yeah, I think if you can get there, you'll take whoever you're playing.
We don't know yet whether we play the Washington Nationals or the Los Angeles Dodgers. I've heard so many people say it'd be better if we played this team. It's better if that team. They're both good teams, but I'd rather see them play the Dodgers.
You know, the thing you remember is that whoever you play – just won a game five winner take all on the road.
Yeah.
So maybe you're not going to get their number one guy or even their number two guy necessarily, but you're going to play a team that's got whatever momentum gets carried over that just won a big game. You're going to face them. Los Angeles, I assume, in fact, I mean, I think this is pretty much goes without saying, they would, if they win, they would go from Washington and come here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they're going back out to L.A. and then crisscrossing the country again.
Mm-hmm.
Washington, it's a short trip. So
unless they bought their tickets at Priceline, in which case you almost have to.
Have
there's
to
a layover.
Yep. There's a connection through Denver.
Right.
I guess of the two, I mean, you would be concerned if you knew you were going to have to face Kershaw in game one.
Yeah.
But that's
but
not going to be the case.
But there's a big fall off after Kershaw.
They're going with Rich Hill, a former Cub, by the way, in Game 5 tomorrow. So I look at Washington. I think that's a team. Here's a good reason not to want to play Washington.
I bet it's going to be the reason I'm thinking.
I don't want to see Daniel Murphy in the NLCS
again.
That's
the guy. Did he make a single out last year? It seemed like he batted 1,000.
No, and he hasn't been making many outs lately either.
He's been a little banged up, though, this year.
He's been a little banged up, but he drove in, I think, four runs yesterday.
Do you guys remember that series the Cubs had with the Nationals where they walked Bryce Harper every time he came up?
Yeah, that was the series here, and they swept him.
Yeah, they swept him, and then I believe the Cubs swept the Dodgers this summer here at Wrigley
Field.
They
took three out of four here, lost two out of three there. They took four out of four against Washington, where the series in which they, I think they walked him 13 times.
Yeah.
Something
How
like
about that.
That. And then they went to Washington and dropped two out of three.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I got stuck behind the Dodgers caravan on their way back to O'Hare one time. That did not make me happy. So I wouldn't mind beating up on them. What are you doing driving three buses down, needing a police escort down the Kennedy?
That's just rude.
Four in the afternoon.
That's just rude,
come
Ryan.
On. That's
come
just
on.
Not fair on a Friday.
Dave, you can't do that. Are there any roster changes? You know, the teams are allowed to alter their rosters if they feel the need to between series. Do you make any changes between what the Cubs have had and what they will have?
Well, it'll be
round.
Interesting to see what they do. Obviously, they have some moves available to them. It's a best of seven, not a best of five.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean you put Jason Hamill on the roster?
I would like to see that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would also like to see Matt Caesar in the lineup, too.
That's another move.
Wouldn't you?
That potentially they would make.
Yeah.
But again, They did okay with this roster.
Yeah,
against a very good team, and a team that some seem more concerned about facing and more worried about.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe they won't make any. They have a few days to ponder it. I'm sure they're deep into the thought process now, and also looking at health. I mean, look, Jorge Soler was not a major factor in this series, but he could have been, you know, and he did play. So it's not like I would certainly he's going to be there.
Can I also share with you quickly two moments? You know, the camera, as the game is going on, sometimes finds itself in the Cubs dugout. So there were two very subtle moments that nobody's really talking about, but I really think it shows the heart of the Cubs and the heart of baseball. They both involve Anthony Rizzo. Number one is last night they showed a point in the game where the score was tied, I believe, 1-1, and they cut to the Cubs dugout, and Anthony Rizzo's watching the game, and he's got his arms around two of the other guys watching the game. And I thought to myself, that's a beautiful moment. That's just guys enjoying a game that's usually played by children and just really taking it all in, and that's important. There was also my other Anthony Rizzo moment, and this is my favorite moment of the whole series. After Jake Arrieta's home run, they're showing the team go nuts in the dugout, and Anthony Rizzo comes up behind Trevor Cahill, who is, I believe, the largest member currently of the Chicago Cubs, and he lifts him up and shakes him and puts him back down.
Yeah, it was just unabashed joy. And I think you saw that a number of times, including in the ninth inning last night, obviously. But look, they wear their emotions on their sleeve, no question. I think Madden, although he doesn't show a lot of emotion, guy hits a home run, he's usually standing at the top of the dugout steps, gives him a high five, pat on the back, fist bump or whatever, but there's no major demonstrativeness on his part.
Right.
But you see it from the rest of the team.
Yeah.
You know, and you can tell when he speaks how he feels about it.
Sure.
He doesn't really have to show it.
Yeah, that's so true. It's been a fun series, and I'm looking forward to the next series and hopefully one more series after that with good news.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great series, whether it's the Nationals or the Dodgers. Again, I think it would be cool to play the Dodgers.
Yeah.
The Cubs kind of owe them one from that series a few years ago,
right?
Which did not go well.
Right.
I think it was 08. But it would be cool to play in Washington, too.
It would. So. Yep. Dave, thanks. We appreciate you sticking around. We'll take a quick break. Ryan's got the news and then a lot more show. It's Bill Left. Wendy will be in later on. So stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Ryan, thank you so much. It's Bill Left. Wendy Snyder will be in later on today. And we have a full show. Dane Neal is here, and we're going to talk about barbecue in a little while. Kathy Richardson, a beautiful voice. We've had Kathy on the show before. We'll be by at 11:35. And then, of course, my best friend in the whole world, Grant Mulvey, will be by to talk about the Blackhawks season, which, as Ryan just pointed out, starts against the St. Louis Blues tonight. They have told people who are attending tonight's game to be in your seats. The game will not start. The puck will not drop at 6:30. But Blackhawks management has said to the fans, we want you here and in your seats at 6:30. Ryan, any idea what could indicate? What sort of a surprise is coming, or do we want to keep it a surprise?
I don't know. Maybe they're trying to figure out the temperature of the ice. They want everyone to be in place so they can take one last reading.
Oh, that might be it.
Maybe.
That might be it. I also know, and this is inside information that they've asked me not to divulge, but I will.
Nobody's listening,
right? It's just me and you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some of the players have been learning the words to the songs from Hamilton. I don't know if that means they're going to do a scene or two on the ice, but I know that some of the players have been learning the lyrics, and they sound beautiful.
The Swedes have been big on that, I know.
Did you watch...
They respect Hamilton.
Oh, they love Hamilton.
Yeah, absolutely.
They love Hamilton. What's not to love? Did you stick around? Please tell me you saw the exciting finish to the game. You did, right?
Well...
No?
Uh-oh. I got a lot of text messages at 10:30, and then I flipped it on, but no, I didn't actually see those moments leading up to it.
Here's a weird thought, but I mean this. I'm kind of glad. I know it would have been very, very nice to have swept the Giants and win it in three, but that game the other night went so late that a lot of people would not have seen the last pitch and would not have had the moment of beating the Giants to move on. And last night, because it was at a more reasonable hour and because it was such an exciting finish, I'm almost kind of glad now that it's over that it did go that fourth game so more people could see that moment. You know what I mean?
You know, I get it. I was the one who stayed up till the one in the morning one.
So yeah, me too. I
stayed up in that one, and then last night I couldn't do it anymore. But remember, we had the teacher strike stuff going on at the same time.
Sure.
So there was a lot going on in that moment and a disappointing finish. But we've had this conversation before about the Blackhawks, right? Some of those Stanley Cup games weren't starting until 8:30.
Right.
And, you know, many people have been very vocal about that, about how difficult it is for, you know, kids on school nights and grownups on school nights and work nights to do that, to make that commitment to stay up after midnight.
It's almost impossible because of the various time zones. And we're, in a way, we're more fortunate being in the Midwest because we're getting, you know, a little residual from the East Coast and from the West Coast. But think about those series that have been between an East Coast team and a West Coast team where the time difference is so dramatic. So even though, yeah, last night's game was an anomaly, it really, really went late. But I'm kind of glad they did it last night at a more reasonable hour when more fans got to see the finish. That was a nice finish. We're getting tons of texts from people all saying essentially the same thing. The best thing about this Cubs victory is that it's taking politics off the headline for a day or two. And I agree with that. I'm all for that. It's a much happier atmosphere just walking around the streets of Chicago today after what happened last night than it had been, let's say, the night after the debate. Would you agree?
I think so, yeah.
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 Also, we're getting texts talking about the quality. Here's the best one. The quality of the broadcasters. Now, these games have been on Fox Sports 1, is that right?
FS1, yeah.
FS1.
People are just learning about that channel right now.
You know what's strange is, if you came in not knowing where to find the game and you have a satellite television setup or a cable television setup with hundreds of channels, it's not easy to find those channels. It really isn't.
I have no idea what channel it is. I've got that Comcast thing where I hit the button and speak into it, and I just say FS1 and it flips over.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, yeah, but I have no idea numerically what number it is at all. If that thing doesn't work, I'm screwed.
For game two, I could, at first, I came in after a couple of innings, and I could only find the broadcast in Spanish for a while because there's a Spanish version of FS1. And I don't know what was said. I took Spanish in high school. I took 2 years of it, and I can speak it a little bit, but they were describing something, and within their description, now keep in mind these are the Spanish announcers in game two, they're describing part of it, and it's a litany in all in Spanish, and then part of it went cha-cha-cha.
Oh, yeah, that's
why would he have said cha-cha-cha? What had happened? There's no cha-cha dancing in baseball.
There may have been. Maybe their cameras were picking that up.
Oh, maybe they were.
You know what? Those broadcasts are so cool because the first thing I always do, and I talk with Rose producers about this, because anytime there's an exciting moment, you always got to flip over and watch it in the Spanish.
Right.
The Spanish version of that broadcast. Because, you know, there's just so much flair that goes along with it.
It's
you know,
multiplied.
You see the American one, it's like, oh, home run! You know, it's, the other one, it's like, oh,
right.
You know, it's,
right.
It's fantastic.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
You always got to watch the Spanish version.
All right, so several people are criticizing the broadcast team yesterday, most notably John Smoltz, who I have to say, I thought did a fairly decent job. A lot of the texters are saying they were slanted toward the Giants, especially the game. Was it game two that it was Bob Costas and John Smoltz? I thought, if anything, they were slanting it more in our favor, I felt. But several people are texting saying it was so obvious there was a bias against the Cubs and pro-Giant. But I didn't get much of that.
I think in the first inning, did he call Javi Baez Pedro Baez?
Yeah, I think there was something like that.
I heard that, and I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
Check those notes a little harder there.
And then somebody commented about Pete Rose. I just did what you just mentioned. Pete Rose after the game, who his style of dress is a little bizarre. He dresses like, you know the old man in a Monopoly game?
Yes.
Is it Rich Uncle Moneybags or Pennybags or something like that? Pete is now buying his outfits at the same place as that guy. It's not very becoming. It's a strange bow tie. So you're treated to two guys, even though the bow tie trend died off in, I think, 1941 or 1942. You get Ken Rosenthal and then Pete Rose both saying, oh, no, bow tie is better than ever.
Bringing it back.
Yep, yep.
And right. Him next to Pete Rose next to Frank Thomas on that desk. I mean, I never thought Pete Rose was a small guy. I know that Frank Thomas was a big dude when he played.
Yeah.
But, I mean, those two next to each other, they were, yeah, I mean, he was towering over. And because Pete Rose was the one who brought up about how big Chris Bryant was and how big Anthony Rizzo are. And he's like, those are some big boys. And Frank Thomas is like, yeah.
Well, we all shrink as we get older, but Pete, for some reason, is on some accelerated program where he's just shrinking. You can watch him during the broadcast just get smaller and smaller and smaller. It's fun to watch. All right, we're going to take a quick break. More of your texts, more of your calls about last night's thrilling victory. And then I need to tell you about an announcer for the Toronto Blue Jays who is making a very serious stand in the next series. I can't go into great details yet, but trust me, you're going to want to hear this. Jerry Horwath, who is an announcer for the Toronto Blue Jays, has made a decision to not say something during the next series, and I'll explain more in just a little bit. It's Bill Left. Wendy Snyder will be in later on WGN. It's Bill Left. Wendy Snyder will be on in a little bit later on. She's on her way. We're talking about last night's Cubs game and everything that goes along with it. Several people, we were just talking about the bow tie effect that's going on over at on the television side. Ken Rosenthal, who does some of the stories, and then Pete Rose, who does post-game analysis, both have opted for the bow tie. A texter texts us that bow ties look really cool on Doctor Who, but on Pete Rose, not quite as much. I agree with you on that. And several people are suggesting, and I've heard other people do this in the past, that if you don't like the announcers that the TV station is providing, turn your TV sound down and just turn on the local broadcast. And you could certainly do that. But for some of us, like mine is in HD and it comes in at about a 3-second difference as opposed to the radio. So you're hearing it a little bit faster than you're seeing it. And that's a little jarring. You want it to sync up. I'm sure there must be some way to do that. I just don't know what it is. Or I would gladly do it. Listen to this. Oh, wait. Let me take this call first. Jill has a thought that I've thought about a little bit. Hold on a second. Jill, there you are. I'm sorry. How are you? Jill? No, I'm not getting her. All right. What happened, Kev? Do we know? Let me just read you this story real quick while we work on the phones. This is about Jerry Horwath, who does the Toronto Blue Jay games, and a stance that he's taking in the next round. Listen to this. The American League Championship Series between the Cleveland Indians and the Toronto Blue Jays is going to begin on Friday, and when it does, do not expect to hear Cleveland's team name, their nickname, the Indians, from Toronto's radio broadcast. That's because Blue Jays play-by-play announcer Jerry Horwath refuses to say the word Indians. Here's what he said on Tuesday on a local show. For the rest of my career, I will not say Indian or Brave. And if I was in the NFL, I would not say Redskins. The reason for Horwath's abstinence, it's a letter he received a quarter of a century ago in which a member of the First Nation tribe explained why these nicknames were offensive. To Horwath's credit, he'd stuck to his 1992 vow and has since done his part to be more empathetic to others' sensibilities. Of course, Horwath's protest won't change the fact that the Indians will likely take the field throughout the series wearing hats depicting Chief Wahoo, a ridiculous caricature that has long overstayed its welcome. Still, you have to respect and admire Horwath's decision all the same. All right, Ryan, here's the question. It's a question of ethics. You're calling a Major League Baseball game. One of the teams, whether you like it or not, is called the Indians. The Cleveland Indians have had that name. How do you not say it?
I mean, just far as habit or just doing it as a reporter?
Well, as a reporter, because his habit, as he's established, he's been doing this for about a quarter of a century now, so it'll come easier for him to get around it, but it's part of the game to say the other team's name.
We've had this with the NFL. There are some broadcasters in the NFL who refuse to say the Redskins' name, just calling them Washington.
Right.
You know, I think probably from the person sitting at home watching the game, probably won't notice it. But I think from a standpoint of being a daily broadcaster and not and just completely getting rid of one word, I think that's a little more challenging for the broadcaster than it will be noticeable for the fans.
Yeah, I guess so. Why is it in sports there are some teams, the Blackhawks are a fine example of this. The Blackhawks are named after the Blackhawk Indian tribe. And there seems to be, excuse me, there seems to be no resistance whatsoever. So why just the word Indians, meaning Native Americans, you can't change their name to the Cleveland Native Americans, obviously, but why Indians, Braves, Redskins, and I understand the caricature aspect of it. I understand that 100%. The Blackhawks are in no way a caricature. It's much more of an honest portrayal And if you go to the Blackhawks conventions, you'll always see a booth set up by the actual Blackhawk Indians saying, we're on board with this. We like this. So how do they manage it and other teams not?
Yeah, the Indians are kind of a strange one because I think it really does have more to do with that logo on the hat than anything, than the name itself even. Remember, the Braves used to have a similar kind of, you know, like a head with a headdress.
Yeah.
That logo. And that's been gone since the 80s. So, I mean, as we've kind of gone a little further along, you know, some teams have made adjustments. I can't tell you how many college teams have had to change their names from Redskins to Red Hawks or, you know, whatever you can change it to. But I don't, Indians are kind of in that weird place. I think I didn't know. Do they still have the Chief Wahoo hat? I thought they had switched that to a C, just a plain C, a couple of years ago.
That's normal uniform, but I still see plenty of the Chief Wahoo hats everywhere. I mean, they still sell them in the gift shops and stuff. Even if it's not the uniform of the day, you still have access to it.
Do you have, having been part of one of the iconic movies, baseball movies, about the Cleveland Indians, I mean, do you have any kind of pull one way or another with that logo or the name?
No, but when we made the movies, when we made the Major League movies, there was, I don't remember any discussion at all. The guy who wrote it was a huge Cleveland Indians fan. David Ward loved the Indians growing up and certainly didn't mean any disrespect. And you know, we were given so much Cleveland Indian gear to wear during the movie, and almost half of it had the Chief Wahoo logo on it.
Well, and there were headdresses, too, that you guys wore in the bleachers, right?
Yeah. In one of the scenes I'm in, they've got me wearing headdresses. And you would see it, like, I don't see it that much anymore at Indians games or Braves games. Or, you know, I always think about the Florida Seminoles as another one that's
Florida
kind
State,
of gotten,
yeah.
They've gotten a pass. But I remember seeing games with them where there'd be so many people out in the stands dressed in Native American gear. So it's always curious to me how some places tend to get away with it while others just don't. You know?
Yeah. No, it's a great point. It'll be interesting to listen to those broadcasts then and see if that starts kind of a new wave. Obviously, this is a Toronto broadcaster, so we'll see, you know, if MLB Network starts following that, if, you know, other broadcasters around the area. And eventually, it's going to take some of the fan base in Cleveland to begin a shift there, I would think.
I wonder if one of their broadcasters said to management, look, I know it's the name of your team. This guy Jerry Horwath is a Toronto Blue Jays broadcaster, so I don't think the Cleveland Indians management really cares. But I think if you were a broadcaster for that particular team and you had to sit down with management and said, look, I love what I do, but I really have a very hard time saying the team's name, you'd be done, right? They wouldn't use you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're an employee of the team, right? Those broadcasters are,
yeah.
So... I don't know. I mean, we just had this conversation about, you know, Columbus Day, and a lot of people want to change the name to Indigenous Peoples Day. A lot of cities and states have already made that turn because, you know, they feel like what Christopher Columbus did was, you know, not as respectful to the Indigenous people, and they feel like they should be honored instead of, you know, this man who came and, you know, brought disease and destruction to,
right.
To you know, but I mean, it's
and
kind
found
of...
found land that was already found.
Yeah, and named the people Indians who,
right.
You know,
was,
I mean...
inaccurate.
Really,
he thought he was in India.
He did not land in India, did not find nearly the spices that he was expecting, I don't think. But,
right.
You know, it's, I guess, revisionist history. I don't know. I don't know if I don't know how this is going to go, because eventually the pressure will become so great someone will have to make the change. And I think that first pressure is being applied to the Washington Redskins, which if you take that name by itself...
That's offensive.
That doesn't really fly. I don't really know what day, you know, when they sat down and thought, what are we going to name our team? I really don't know how they thought that one was going to fly.
Current ownership, Ryan, you know this. Current ownership stands behind that
They're
name 100%.
They're fighting like crazy.
And they've had pressure from politicians, both locally and nationally, and they just do not want to change.
Well,
it'd be so easy for them to change. They just don't want
to. It's tradition, and they think that there's more in the name and in the brand than there is in appeasing to people who think it's offensive. I you know, it depends on where the money goes. If the money goes away, which it is not to the
right.
NFL, you know, then the name might go as well. But as for now, I mean, they're happy with their business model, and they're not going to change a thing, and they're not going to let anyone push them around.
That's it. We will take a break. Thanks, Ryan. We're going to take a break. Ryan has the news for you, and then Daniel will be in. It's Bill Left, Wendy Snyder on her way on WGN. Thank you, Ryan. It's Bill Left. Wendy will be by in about a second. There she is.
Hi, Bill.
Hey, Wendy. That was fast.
I wanted to come in for Dane.
It worked.
Dane Neal
is here.
Woohoo.
We have Dane Neal in from time to time. You know him as the host of the Dane Neal Show, which I don't think you can get a better name, a more appropriate name, and then from accessappetite.com. Hi, Dane.
Hello. And typically just me by myself would be moderately adequate.
I would think.
In some situations.
Sure.
We have raised the bar and gone way beyond on today's show. And, of course, barbecue is one of the hottest things out there, mm-hmm. nationwide, trend-wise, product-wise, TV-wise. It's happening.
And it's all of our middle names, barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
All right.
We all love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. I was thinking, really? I'm thinking, Wendy, I don't know your middle name.
It's barbecue.
All right, good. Chicago doesn't get the recognition, the accolades, all of the kudos that maybe it I think it does deserve. And you look at some of these other places around the country, whether it's Texas or Kansas City or Carolina, and there's nothing, Memphis or Nashville, and those places are doing it. They're doing it great for sure. But something gets lost along the way, and it's Chicago's history in the world of barbecue. And in studio, we have two legendary figures, nationally known, nationally acclaimed.
Royalty.
And the scepters, they both have scepters and crowns, so that threw us off.
And it's a spare rib. That's what the scepter's made out of.
We've got Dave Raymond, who is known to the world in his sauciest form as Sweet Baby Ray. Mm-hmm. And I remember his nephew Deuce had brought ribs to like another station maybe 14 years ago. And you always hear that story with the Mike Royko Rib Fest. With Dave Raymond, our buddy Ray Lampe, Dr. Barbecue, Charlie Robinson, when they first went in there and said, barbecue, what is, this as a competition, this as an experience, how do we do more of this? And so he is in studio. And then, when your name starts with famous.
Yes.
Right.
You know you're
doing something right. And I've been interviewing famous Dave Anderson for over 10 years. And every single time, although he is a national barbecue figure, he always goes back to his Chicago roots and explains, why he's into barbecue, where it all came from. And it is right here. And so on Friday, we're going to have these guys along with Dr. Barbecue, Ray Lampe, Gary Wiviot, Meathead Goldwyn, even Barry from Smoke on the Chicago Barbecue Tour to kind of take hold of Chicago's history and legacy as one of America's great, if not greatest, barbecue cities. And we've got these guys, Dave Anderson and Dave Raymond in studio.
It's an all-star team that Dane just mentioned. Do you guys all get along?
Who wants the ball?
Yeah, you know what? When it comes to barbecue, America celebrates with barbecue.
Yeah.
And Dave and I think all of our life, we passionately love anything that's smoky, anything that's fire-licked, and we're all about mm-mm-mm.
Good.
Great tasting barbecue.
It is an honor to meet both of you. Sweet Baby Ray is just what it is. That sauce is sweet. It's tangy. It's awesome. And Famous Dave, we went to a Famous Dave's restaurant, and my son Michael was probably 6 years old at the time. And the host who sat us, we said, that's Famous Dave. So my son went up and said, Hi, Mr. Famous. How are you? And it wasn't you. Obviously, it was just the host. So he will be honored that you're in the studio today.
Let me ask both of you, Dane just reeled off other cities that are sometimes synonymous with barbecue. Chicago is and should be, but what's the difference between our style of barbecue and the other cities that Dane mentioned?
Well, I think, you go from Texas, Austin, Houston, Dallas, a very spicy, robust type of sauce, and you're doing beef primarily, mm-hmm. briskets and sausages, things like that. Then you come up to Memphis and Kansas City, you're looking at more of a molasses, brown sugar type of tangy barbecue sauce. You go out to the Carolinas, you're looking at either a vinegar-based or mustard-based sauce.
Mm-hmm.
America really has a really unique history of barbecue that stretches everything from down in Texas to the Midwest up to the smoking salmon in the Pacific Northwest, and then even a clam bake out on the East Coast is a form of barbecue. By the way, to me, I've always said that barbecue is not a cooking style more than it is a lifestyle.
Oh.
And America celebrates with barbecue.
Yep, no doubt about that.
So from my point of view, I think that in the earlier days in Chicago, it was barbecue was the aquarium. In Chicago, was unique with the aquarium smoker. And South and West Side barbecue was rib tips and hot links. over French fries with sauce poured over the top of that, mm-hmm. and white bread served on top of that. That's the traditional, what Chicago is known for.
Good tasting and good for you.
But in the last 10 or 15 right? years, there's mouth-watering, lip-smacking, bone-sucking, rib-sticking, finger-licking good.
Well, come on, think
Sweet
about
Baby Ray, you got it.
Think about how popular Moo and Oink was around right. here. Absolutely. I mean, seriously.
I'm going to be them for Halloween. Both of them.
So all you mentioned the different flavors in different parts of the country, so obviously that's just been passed down from generation to generation to generation, huh?
Right. I think, you know, every red-blooded American has almost what we call, you know, this inner passion. There's almost a sensational primal need
yeah.
for man to chew smoky charred meat off a bone. And there's something about it that just brings out their inner caveman. But, you know, I think Chicago has really been passed over for so many years. We always hear about Kansas City or Memphis. And a lot of people fail to realize that Chicago has its own rich history of incredible barbecue. We were America's stockyard. And I always knew that my family was a little bit different than all the other kids on the block, because when I was growing up and all of the other kids were going out for burgers and pizza, mm-hmm. my dad was headed down to the south side of Chicago, and we were going to Lem's. There was a place called Sprague's on Kedzie and Lake, the Rib Palace on Central Lake, Leon's, Robinson's, some really incredible barbecue joints. And as Sweet Baby Ray says, they had these real pit smokers, which were aquarium type smokers with live flames. And I think a lot of the barbecue joints today don't have that taste that Chicago has, that we've been known for. So we actually, here in the city of Chicago, had real pit
yeah.
wood-burning barbecue pits.
And we're going to visit some of those places on Friday, go to some of those. They're going to be Facebook living the event, you know, with a lot of the present day stars of barbecue here in Chicago and some of the legends that started in Chicago and traveled around the world. And so we'll get to some of those locations, I know, in the next segment. But I wanted to ask you guys, if you guys have been doing it forever, you know, and now, as of course Chicago is being recognized more and more as a great food town and barbecue is so popular, are you surprised that just how popular? You'd be doing it anyway, you guys, both of you, but now everybody loves barbecue. Are you surprised by that?
It's really interesting. The last 10 years, I'd say there's probably 20, 25 genuine, authentic, real wood barbecue places have opened up in Chicago, and all the guys were saying, well, this guy's not going to last, this guy's not going to last. And some guys have fallen off, and some really good guys have come on. Leanne Whippin chose to come to Chicago to open up a barbecue restaurant. Charlie McKenna's from Florida, he chose to come here to open up a place. Famous Dave's has a good number of locations here, and Meathead has a great reputation for knowledge about barbecue. He's from Chicago. Dr. Barbecue Ray Lampe, and then you say Weber Grill's world headquarters are here. Kraft Foods World Headquarters are here. Southern Pride made 20,000 industrial restaurant smokers while they were still in Illinois.
Wow.
Famous Dave's brand started in Chicago. Sweet Baby Ray's started in Chicago. There's a rich history from the early days, and it's getting much more richer now.
And you look at from, and this is what's going to be great, is going to take this to the masses and kind of share that message and that history with the people. But guys, you know, Windy City Smokeout, I've been involved since
sure.
it started, and this has made Chicago kind of this epicenter of the barbecue world, where it's bringing in, you know, Salt Lick, Pappy's, Martin's, you know, all these great places and recognized places from around the country come to Chicago to, as you say, Dave, celebrate barbecue.
Let's take a little break, and we'll come back and talk more. Dane Neal is hosting the Great Chicago Barbecue Tour on Friday the 14th, starting at 10 a.m. It's all on Facebook Live. We'll pick this up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. The push for the pennant. Count on your Cubs TV station, WGN, for complete news and sports coverage throughout the playoffs. Watch WGN TV for everything Cubs this October.
Dane Neal is here with us, and we are talking barbecue with a couple of Daves.
A couple of Daves, and there's nothing wrong with that. But they, you know, that you've got, when you've got a nickname that kind of showcases the talent and the acclaim that you deserve, then you know you're doing something right. You've got Sweet Baby Ray, mm-hmm. Dave Raymond, of course, famous Dave Anderson. You guys mentioned that, you know, I'm hosting the Chicago Barbecue Tour. I'm just helping, you know, announce it on the media side and kind of, I guess, hosting it in a technical sense. But this has been the brainchild of famous Dave Anderson to kind of do this. And when he first started out coming from Chicago, he brought barbecue to Hayward, Wisconsin, because there was nothing like it there.
Yeah.
And then across the country with Famous Dave's, and now kind of bringing it full circle back home.
Do both of you have taste buds that are sensitive enough that when you taste barbecue, you can kind of tell the ingredients? Are you guys that good?
I have been told I probably have one of the most incredible. There's probably five other people in the country.
So the Dalai Lama.
Obviously.
By my spice companies that have my taste palate.
Really?
Which I think is one of the reasons why I think between Sweet Baby Ray's, which is America's best-selling barbecue sauce, and number two is probably Famous Dave's barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
You know, to make a barbecue sauce turns you into a great cook, because there is so much complexity and a great sauce. It's got to be somewhat robust in flavor.
Sure.
It's got to be have some heat. It's got to have a little bite to it. It's got to be tangy. It's got to be sweet. And so there's a lot of things going on in a great tasting barbecue sauce. And I literally spent 20 years taste testing all of my recipes. It's something my dad started. But, you know, for years I would just take different seasonings and I would put them in my mouth. I'd take bites out of ghost peppers, serrano peppers, just to understand the flavor nuances. You know, I'm almost embarrassed sometimes to tell people what's been in this mouth.
we're going to be starting at 10 a.m. On Friday. We're going to be visiting some of those legendary places that have been doing it and doing it right for a very, very long time. So, Dave, describe some of the places, some of the stops along the way that people can follow on Facebook Live.
Well, what's happening this Friday, October 14th, is Dave Raymond and I and Dr. Barbecue, and we were talking one time. We said, you know, it's really unfortunate that America does not know the rich, colorful history Chicago has when it comes to barbecue. I think everybody knows that Chicago was America's stockyard mm-hmm. capital, but I don't think a lot of people realize the incredible history that we have right here in the city of Chicago when it comes to barbecue.
Yep.
So we're going to be visiting some of those places, those legendary places along the way, at least like I think three or four, getting out experience and showing it on Facebook Live, talking with the people at those restaurants that, again, have been doing it for so long. And then, of course, the thoughts from not only these legends, but also some of the top people working today in Chicago barbecue.
You just see it on someone's face when they bite into good barbecue. You just see the elation just come through. You know that look. You've seen it a million times. Isn't that nice?
For me, it's always the guy and his story, and then I can get into his barbecue and his place, and that's what gets me going. And it's just the great people in barbecue and participation. Barbecue is a contact sport, and just to get out and be around the guys and eat barbecue and talk about it, and specifically the rich history of Chicago, that's what attracted me to being part of what's going on. Dave's been a good friend of mine for a good while now. We have a faith-based relationship, and the idea of
barbecue's a religion.
to be supportive of what he's trying to do in Chicago, where I grew up. I think he and I bring a real rich history to Chicago's barbecue going forward.
It's going to be great. Not only some amazing insight, but also some great visuals as well as they tour the great barbecue places of Chicago. Facebook.com/FamousDave's Chicago. Facebook.com/FamousDave's Chicago. Starting at 10 on Friday morning. And guys, one of the last things is, how does it feel to just have everybody kind of love you? You know, when people come in, when he's like, I love your sauce. You know, and people are like, I had, you know, this.
Bread pudding is great at your place.
We were at your restaurant.
Really,
this
we
happened.
Were.
I mean, that's got to be pretty gratifying, right? To just have people be so. It's not like, hey, you know, like you're the garbage man. You forgot this one can.
Right.
People love what you guys do.
Well, you know, America celebrates with barbecue. It's how we have a good time. You know, if you want to really have a good time with friends and family, you say, hey, come on over Friday. We're going to have a backyard. Barbecue. It's what America does. We love to celebrate, and there isn't anything better than a you know, smoky ribs, honey buttered cornbread, you know, roasted chicken over a fire, licked over an open fire, and then slathered with Famous Dave's barbecue
Who's
sauce,
salivating
or
right
even
now?
Or even Sweet Baby Ray. Yeah, yeah, you know, I grew up with Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce, and I think that's what's so fun about America's barbecue is that there's camaraderie because we all respect what each other does. Everybody has their own flavor nuances, their own take on what barbecue is, but that's what makes it so interesting. That's what makes so tasty.
And you got to get down and dirty when you're eating ribs. I think it was the second date I had with my now husband. He had shorts on. We were eating ribs. It was all over his legs. I'm like, he is a keeper. No, none of this pinkies up. And just get down and dirty and enjoy it. There are napkins and wet naps when you're finished.
Dane, tell us one more time. What do we need to know?
10 a.m. Facebook.com/ Famous Dave's Chicago is the site, and there's going to be stuff going on there from 10 until 3:30 in the afternoon. I'm sure it'll be available maybe afterwards, or we'll put some excerpts in there. But live, check it out live and just be a part of it.
Very nice. Dave, Dane, thank you, everybody.
It's an honor to meet you.
Yep.
Hey, may you always be surrounded by good friends and great tasting barbecue. Love you guys.
Beautiful. We'll take a quick break, then Ryan with the news. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Feels like you're standing in cement, replaying those negative tapes to tell you how wrong you've been. Keep feeding you sour grapes. See the perfect world.
All right, I know that voice.
Who would we know that voice from?
Kathy Richardson in the studio with us. What song is this?
This is Can't Stop Time from the new Macrodots album. Newish.
I love
it. The latest.
I love it. I love you. You have played all around Chicago. I've known you for a long time.
Yeah.
You've had many carnations or
reincarnations.
Yeah. And right now,
sometimes carnations. I remember Kathy used to sell flowers on the corner. We'd buy carnations from her. I remember
and carnation
that.
Instant milk,
right?
As well.
Yeah.
And right now, you've been in Jefferson Airplane, and now Jefferson Starship. I don't know. Take us along the chronology of that.
Oh, okay. Well, I've been in Jefferson Starship for the past 8.5 years or so, and I recently performed with some of the surviving members of Jefferson Airplane when they received their Lifetime Achievement Award at the Grammys. It wasn't at the... It was its own special concert called Grammy Salute. And Grace asked me to sing for her because she doesn't sing anymore, but she was there to accept the award. And so I sang Somebody to Love with Jack Cassidy and Jorma Kaukonen.
Oh, my God.
And...
Grace Slick asked you to sing. Are you still? That's just wild.
It's really wild. I mean, it's such a trip. I can't even. I mean, it's just, you know, when you're a kid, you like, you know, I had dreams of being a rock star and stuff, but I loved Grace Slick. She was one of my heroes. I never dreamed in a million years that I would be in the band, you know, and that she would be sitting there watching me, cheering me on and, you know, encouraging. She's come out to see a couple of Jefferson Starship shows recently. And it's just been so, so amazing to have her support. And she, you know, she doesn't sing anymore, but she still loves the music. So
why did she choose? It's her decision to not sing anymore. Is she just not able to hit the notes? What's going on?
I don't know. I think she said, you know, she wanted to retire. She didn't, you know, back in the day, she didn't think that that people over 40 should be playing rock and roll music. Oh. It was, you know,
boy, was she wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. So she's, you know, but she's kind of softened on that now. She says, well, that's just me. That's just, I don't, you know, she's kind of like been there, done that. next.
Yeah.
You know,
she's an artist now.
Yeah, enjoying her retirement. She paints. She's got a beautiful house in Malibu, and it's, you know, she's just enjoying her years.
I bet she misses it, though. She has to miss it.
I'm sure she does. But she came to a show. She was sitting right in the front row, and we started.
I hope she wasn't heckling.
She was leaning over. She was listening very intently. She was. She even ran to the sound man at one point and told him to turn up David Freiberg's vocal.
Oh wow,
it's hilarious. And but she was, you know, we start playing White Rabbit, the opening, you know, dun-ga-dun-ga-dun, and I'm like, this is weird. Like Grace Slick is singing, and I looked at her, I was like, Do you wanna do this? And she was like, me, no, you know. So I just sat down on the stage right in front of her and I just sang right to her. And then at the end I jumped off the stage and I gave her a hug, and it was just such a moment, you know. I mean, I can't
That's
even
great.
Yeah, totally Good. Surreal.
All right, so the PBS Great Performances series, is this gonna be on that?
Yeah, this Friday night on PBS.
Does it show you hugging her?
No, the hug is not on there.
Poops.
Yeah, she was in the wings watching. They first accepted their award and she gave a speech, and she's just hilarious, you know. She's so funny. And she went backstage and sat down, and I'm standing there like, you know, getting kind of nervous and waiting for my entrance. And she, you know, waves me in. She leans over and says, "You know this song, right?"
Oh my God. A little late to ask.
Yeah, I said, "Yes, I do.
So
I know it very well." And so it, you know, just such a great moment. I can't wait to see it on TV because this was like this. We taped this back in April, so it's been a long time to wait for this big moment. You know,
I'm trying to think of another band whose style you would fit so seamlessly into. Their music and yours are on the same path, pretty much, wouldn't you say?
I would definitely say. I mean, you know, Jefferson Airplane and Jefferson Starship were some of my favorite bands when I was growing up. So, you know, I'm very, I'm intimately familiar with the music, for one thing, and I love it. And, you know, that powerful singing style that Grace had is just, you know, that's right in my
in your wheelhouse,
in
baby.
My wheelhouse. Yeah. I was going to say breadbasket. Is that
either
a thing?
One? I think we could have that's by your
thing.
Stomach.
Usually, that's where someone punches you.
Right.
Oh, okay.
In the breadbasket.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of how we do it.
Did you have an operation game when you were growing up? Because that's one of the pieces.
Yeah, wrenched ankle.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And of course, you were also in Love Janis, doing Janis Joplin off Broadway,
which is a totally different voice.
Yeah.
And, you know, I always sang Janis songs. I never thought I sounded like Janis, but they hired me anyway. I didn't know why at the time. But I, through my journey with that, I really learned how to sing. A lot of people think Janis is the screaming singer, but she was extraordinarily soulful and skillful with her voice. She could make all kinds of different sounds. That scratchy sound was like one of her sounds. And
it wasn't all that.
No, she had a clear belting sound too, and she could, it probably depended a little bit on how tired she was and how much, you know, whiskey she had drank on any given day, but like her voice was very, very incredible. And and as a performer, I mean, she was so amazing at such a young age. You know, I was probably older than her when I started doing the show and really learning her whole catalog, and it was such an education for me, and she just knew how to do that, you know?
That's always been my dream, and I'll never do it. I started taking vocal lessons a couple years ago, but I can't remember words. Does everybody still use the iPads?
You know,
and one song, the app?
I a lot of times I'll like just print out a piece of paper and like old school, and I do it like that. But I don't, I'm really have a strange memory for remembering words. Not, I mean, knock on wood, now I'm going to sing.
Yeah.
Where was I?
You've never blanked, though, in the middle of a show?
Oh, totally.
Have
absolutely.
You? Yeah.
And you just insert something else, right?
Well, sometimes I'll be sitting there, like, going, oh, my God, I don't know the words, I don't know the words, I don't know the words, and then I'll go, and they just come out.
Oh, wow.
It's like muscle memory.
Yeah, it is.
It's like when you think about it, you screw yourself up, maybe.
Right. Yeah.
You know, just let it flow, and it happens.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, what's this CD called? Because this is relatively new. This is yours?
This is the Macrodots. This is a recording project that I have with this guy, Zach Smith. He's a producer, guitar player, songwriter that I met in San Francisco. He actually used to be in the band Scandal with Patti Smythe.
Or do you say Smith?
Or do you? I don't know. I think you say Smythe because there's Patti Smith, and right. You know, there's only could be one of her.
Yes. So. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But so we met when I was living in San Francisco doing Love Janice, and he came and saw me in the show. You know, my previous records and sound was almost Americana, country-ish, you know, just by nature of the fact that I play guitar and I know about three chords. So my hand, when I grab a guitar, I just automatically play a G chord, and that's what happens, you know. Mm-hmm. So Zach said, you know, you've got this great rock voice. I want to write some stuff with you and really showcase that. So we started this project, Macrodots. This is our second album. And it's really cool. It's really fun. It's different than what I would write on my own, but yet it's still very me, you know. So
get out of your comfort level, though, a little bit is good to grow.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I love these songs so much. I love the songs that Zach and I write together.
We need to take a break, but okay. When we come back, you've agreed to do a song.
But
heavy
of course,
negotiations, and okay. You finally gave in and said, yeah, I'll do a song. And then also, I know this sounds cruel, but a song that you perform has been picked as the worst song of all time.
Oh, yeah.
We'll
talk about
that.
Unfortunately, I don't know how to play that.
Oh, all right. Then maybe that's for the best.
Maybe
that
I'll sing it for you.
All right. All that's ahead. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. Kathy Richardson in studio with us here on WGN.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
Electronic drums. All right, it's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, Kathy Richardson in the studio with us. And this all started, you were right, we were talking about this off the air. It was a Blender, magazine article in 2004 that they said this is like the worst song ever. And then GQ just reiterated that and said it's still the worst song ever.
But that's
in rock
only out of like 3 million songs, so it's not that big of a deal.
Well, I love this debate because it brings up, you know, the topic of what are some really truly horrible songs. Mm-hmm. And there's just so many, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think really, you know, the song, first of all, it was a number one song and it got super overplayed on the radio. I think, you know, that happens. People get sick of something. But I think also, you know, it was just so the antithesis of Jefferson Airplane. And, you know, Jefferson Airplane was seen as these, you know, revolutionary, almost, you know, leading the hippie movement, even though I don't think any of them were actually real hippies.
Oh.
But they were, that's what they represented to people. And to go all the way to the full opposite spectrum of corporate rock, you know, outside songwriters, all the, you know, cheesy electronics and
totally.
Stuff.
But aren't they making fun of that? Aren't they making fun of the way music turned?
I mean, yes, you could say that, that was a motivation. I think they just wanted hit songs, you know, and Bernie Taupin was one of the co-writers. And
Can't be that bad then.
Well, interestingly, Peter Wolf, the producer, is the one who created the "We built this city." That wasn't part of the song. So that part, I think, is particularly offensive to people's... But it's so hooky, too, at the same time.
It is.
You know, if you get this song in your head, God help you, because it's going to be stuck there for a long time.
I like it. I want it stuck in my head.
Well, when we play it at shows, people go absolutely insane, you know?
Do
and
they really?
It changes the mood in the room. It really does, you know?
I think because from an architectural standpoint, to construct an entire city on rock and roll seems almost impossible.
Well, but, you know, I wouldn't want to live on any other kind of
city.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. That's true. All right.
So you have been with Jefferson Starship for the past 8 years.
Yep.
And a special is airing. You fronted Jefferson Airplane for a Grammy salute to music legends. at under the blessing of Grace Slick, and it's going to be on PBS Great Performances series. And when does that air? When's the premiere
this,
of that?
This Friday, October 14th at 8 p.m. Central Time.
All righty. And you're going to do a song for us right now?
Sure. Should I do Somebody to Love?
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
the song I
Please.
Sang with the band.
Please do.
I got goosebumps already, and she hasn't even started.
Right.
I was in tune when I bought it. Okay. When the truth is found to be lies, and all the joy within you dies, don't you want somebody to love? Don't you need somebody to love? Wouldn't you?
Swore.
I think that's how it's done. I'm sort of like that.
I'm feeling like Grace Slick right now. Are you sure you know that song? Holy moly. Kathy Richardson, the fabulous Woo. Kathy Richardson.
Thank you. Good morning.
You just keep getting better.
So good. And leave the guitar because the place that restrings my tennis racket's also to get those guitars. So I can get that done for you.
Awesome. Thank
beautiful
you.
Beautiful job, Kathy.
Hey, thank you so much.
Go to KathyRichardson.com, right?
Yeah.
And watch her tonight, Friday night, October 14th, 8 p.m., PBS, Great Performances. You will be singing that?
Yes, I will be singing that. Also, Jefferson Starship's coming to town in next
month. Oh, they
month.
Are.
November 11th, we'll be at the Horseshoe Casino.
Cool.
With Blue Oyster Cult, and I'm still waiting for to play cowbell with them, so my fingers are crossed. That's going to happen here.
On Don't Fear the Reaper, they'll yeah, bring you in for that? Totally. Oh, good.
Great to see you, Kath.
You too. Thanks for having me.
A quick break. Ryan with the news and then more show. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Ryan, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. It's part two of our Wednesday show. 312-981-7200 is our phone number and our text line.
Did you hear Jack Frost will be nipping at our nose?
That's what they're saying. Ryan Burrow just said that.
If we're in Ogle County.
Yeah, Ogle and Boone Winnebago. County. So yeah, not really in the approximate close area, but a little bit farther
out.
In
the outskirts.
Yeah, but like I said, that first hard freeze, that's when it kills all the mosquitoes. So you've always got concerns about Zika and West Nile.
Right.
And all the health departments say, once you get that first freeze, you're in the clear. So hopefully for the good people of Boone and Ogle and Winnebago.
Mosquitoes no longer a factor.
Mosquitoes free, yeah.
Good. I like to hear that.
Well, I'm ready for Christmas.
Are you ready now?
I'm kind of ready. The Tree Time commercial has gotten me in the mood.
That's what does it.
My son Dylan has this app that says the last one he sent me was on the 29th, so I'm a little behind. But 12 weeks, 2 days till Christmas, 87 sleeps.
Oh, my goodness. It's that soon.
It's sooner than that because that was on the 29th.
Little change this year. We're seeing more and more department stores say we're not opening up on Thanksgiving this year.
I like it.
Yeah. Mm. We just saw H.H. Gregg said they're not going to do it. We know Lowe's and Home Depot, Mall of America, that big one up in the Minneapolis area, says they'd prefer not to open up. They can't tell the retailers not to, but they'd rather not. So,
huh. How about that?
It's a change. It's a shift.
Who besides Stephanie Menendez, who works here, happy birthday, Stephanie, by the way.
Happy birthday, Stephanie.
Who goes shopping on Thanksgiving for these specials? Anybody here in the studio do it?
No.
There is no way.
I've woken up early on the day after. That can be kind of fun sometimes, but no, I've never.
It's a madhouse.
To leave your Thanksgiving meal. I know you don't even like Thanksgiving, Bill.
Well, you know what? The one thing I can say is, let's say you've got a lot of family in from out of town, or maybe you're visiting someone out of town. You've already kind of polished off the meal at 3 o'clock and you don't like any of the football games. And you're like, you know what?
You need something.
Let's get out of here.
Excuse me, guys. How about talking to your family members?
Well, you know, that's actually the argument, because I've covered a lot of these Black Fridays and whatever they call it, Brown Thursday or whatever.
Is that what they call it?
I can't remember
Turkey
what
Thursday.
It is. Turkey Thursday. I believe it's called Thanksgiving, but, they say that, you know, that's their family time. A lot of them, they bring out the lawn chairs, they sit around. And
lawn chairs?
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes, because you run out of chairs. And Ryan, you're right, I just Googled it. It is Thanksgiving. You're correct.
It's on a Thursday this year, right?
It is. It falls on a Thursday this year.
All right.
It's the third one of the month this year.
Yeah, yeah. You know how I've told you over the years, I'm not a fan of surprises, right? Like, I've told Terry every time there's a milestone birthday, I don't even have to tell her anymore. She knows. Don't even think about a surprise birthday party, because if I walked in the room and everybody else surprised, I would walk back out. I would just close the door and go away. I just don't like surprises.
And do you mean that sincerely? Because there are people that, oh, don't do anything for me, but they really hope they do.
I mean it sincerely.
I hate surprises.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, that said, can I share with you the 1-2 punch of surprises that I had yesterday? One is a very obvious one. I didn't expect the Cubs to come back from a 3-run deficit in the ninth inning.
No one did. Even the Cubs were surprised.
Right. I think everybody was surprised by that. So that was a very pleasant surprise. May I share with you the other surprise I had yesterday? Okay. I played tennis last night, as I do most nights. And the plan was, after tennis, I was going to meet Terry and Reese at a restaurant near us that I knew would be showing the game. And I'd been saying to Terry for the last day or two, I'd rather watch the game at home. It's a restaurant that I like a lot, but I always feel weird when you're in a restaurant and your focus is on the TV screen. That's not why you go to a restaurant.
Well, this is an extenuating circumstance.
It is.
No one cares that you're not looking around the restaurant.
No, but if I'm bringing my wife and my daughter to a restaurant, I would rather just talk to them and not like listen to them, but have my eye up on the screen. My face looks like Marty Feldman's. This one eye is on my wife and daughter and the other is up on the TV screen. People keep coming up going, I loved you as Igor on Young Frankenstein. No, that wasn't me. Igor. All right. So tennis went a little late last night. So I texted them because Reese had a school meeting. And I said, hey, if you guys want to go out, go out. But the game starts in 5 minutes. I really think I want to watch it at home. So then Reese texts me back saying, oh, you promised us and it really means a lot to us. And I said, I know, but the game's about to start.
They really like you.
They do like me. They definitely like me. So back and forth, and it didn't take a lot of coaxing, but I did agree to it, and it's a restaurant that I like. So I say, yeah, all right, let me just quickly shower. I'll get there as quickly as I can. Good, because we just left the meeting. We'll get there at about the same time. So I get there, shower up quickly, drive over to the restaurant. The game is on. It's the bottom of the first inning. I've missed almost nothing. I missed the first 3 or 4 outs. That's it. So I sit down and Terry goes, I hope you weren't upset with us. I go, no, I wasn't upset at all. I said, I just, like I told you, I feel weird. I'm watching the game, even though we're in a restaurant.
So weird about what other people think. I mean, they know you're going to watch the games.
I know, but I feel like I should give them my undivided attention and not 15% of it.
You make me want to throw up sometimes.
So then Terry goes, okay, but you're not upset. I go, no, I'm not upset. I just, you know. So then she goes, well, what if there's a little extra added bonus? I go, like what? And with that, my daughter Kylie comes out from around the corner. I couldn't believe it. You know?
She's home for fall break?
I didn't know there was fall break. I had no
idea.
You're
very plugged in, they just like kept, a lot of dads.
Well, they went out of their way. I don't know what her, you know, every school's schedule is different. I haven't seen her since she left almost 2 months ago, a few days shy of 2 months
ago. Wow, you've done well.
I have done well. I didn't do well. I was crying like a baby.
So you didn't watch the Cubs game then?
No, we all watched because she's a big Cubs. And actually, she and I were texting each other the night before during the game. And I kept saying to her, hey, I get to see you in 5 weeks. This has been a long 2 months without you. I can't wait till you're back. And, you know, she held up her end of the surprise bargain. She didn't tell me at all.
That's a way different surprise, though, Bill.
Well, you know what it was like on a scaled down version. I always see on YouTube, there's all these videos of kids that are at a school and they've won some award and then they're about to do the presentation and there's somebody sitting there and it's their dad who was in the army and
who's
they didn't
home
know he was,
Yes, I know.
So every time I see one of those, I tear up and I go, oh, can you imagine not knowing? And then your dad's there and you hadn't seen him. And then she just comes from around the corner. And in my head, this is like the craziest part of this. Because I see her come around the corner, and as Terry's talking to me, I go, boy, does that girl look like Kylie? That's amazing. But it was Kylie, so that's why it looked so much like her.
Sometimes, Bill, I wish you'd listen to yourself when you talk.
I know.
But now that is an awesome little bonus. It's not really like a surprise party. That sucks.
That's not
really
good.
I know people love it, but
so many people love it. I've had friends of mine have had surprise parties, and they go, that was one of the best nights of my life, and had no idea it was coming. But I don't know.
I don't like that. I had one for Jim when he turned 30. I invited all his friends. I was really pregnant, and it was at a bowling alley.
Mm-hmm.
And we were supposed to get him downstairs where people were going to surprise. Because you walk into a bowling alley, there are people bowling, obviously. But I go, hey, could you just run down? I got to run to the restroom. Can you just come downstairs with me?
Right.
And several of our friends were there because he thought he was just meeting a couple couples.
Yeah.
And he looks at my friend Jeff and he's like, this guy's blocking the stairs. Get out of my way. But wait a minute. What? And then like he almost got in a fight before the surprise even happened.
That's a surprise in and of itself.
I know. Look who surprised who. But I hate surprises like that.
On paper, it looks like such a great idea. But so many people, and again, you fall to one side of this argument or the other. There's some people that just live for those moments. I'm not usually one of them, but last night it played out.
But that was a different thing. You were going there anyway.
Right.
Again, my sister and my cousin threw a great 50th surprise party for me at Russell's Barbecue River Forest. And we were told to get there at 3:00. And of course, we were running late. So my sister calls me, where are you? I'm like, oh my God, I'm just going out to lunch. And so I get in a fight with her. And then I walk in and
all your friends were there. Kevin, were you there?
No, it was just family.
No? Ryan,
it was
were
just,
you there? No.
There were like 40 there, family members there. And then I got pissed at my sister because I didn't wash my hair and I didn't like what I was wearing. Like somebody could have tipped me off.
Then you get the fake surprise. Oh.
I ended up having fun and whatever, but I didn't like the shirt I was wearing. You know me. Nothing's easy with me. Nothing.
A couple years ago, my dad was involved. They pulled off this surprise for one of his friends. It was his 70th birthday? It must have been his 70th birthday.
Wow.
So this elaborate thing at this restaurant, this Chinese restaurant that he loves in Orland Park, all of his friends waiting inside the restaurant. He and his wife arrive. They've been working on this thing for 3 months. So part of the plan was for my dad to meet him out in the parking lot. And then, because he knew he was meeting my dad there, but he
right.
didn't know
you
that
you always
there
have
were,
the token couple
yeah.
that they're just going to be there.
Right. That's why the evening is taking place. My dad's going to meet them and they're going to walk in. So my dad's in the parking lot with he and his wife and they're talking. And one of their other friends, their mutual friends, is just waiting and waiting and waiting and goes, this is ridiculous. So he goes out into the parking lot and says to my dad's friend, hey, I don't know what all this is about, but you got 50 people in there who are waiting for you. Come on, let's do this. Which kind of ruined the surprise.
A little bit.
Just a little.
Wow.
I know. After months of planning and him having no idea this was coming.
I'm not good at keeping secrets either, so I don't like to know of a surprise party for someone else. If I'm throwing it,
right.
That's one thing. Like, honestly, I couldn't even talk to Jim prior to his surprise party.
You would have blown it.
Yes.
I know.
You know me. I don't edit what I say very much. And I was really scared I was going to ruin it. But,
oh, no.
But yours was a great surprise.
Oh,
you were just
so
going
nice.
There anyway. So
right.
It's, you know, you had already showered.
Yes.
It was a bonus more than
it
a surprise.
Right.
Have you guys ever done surprise trips before?
No, wouldn't
that
be nice?
You know, it's a challenge. My mom did it with my dad one time for his birthday, and she actually called his boss and said he needs to take this day off. Like, she booked the day off with his boss, which was kind of strange, because then when my mom woke him up in the morning and said, come on, we're going, he's like, no, I got to go to work. She's like, no, I took care of it.
Where'd they go?
They ended up going to, my dad went to Oklahoma, so they went down there and watched a football game. Which
he had
really
no
cool.
idea this was happening.
No, but it turns out there was bad storms. They got stuck at O'Hare for a long time. They didn't know if they'd make it down to...
Surprise! You know,
exactly.
That's pretty sweet,
I told my wife one time for her 30th birthday, I said, we're going somewhere, but I'm not going to tell you where. So I told her what to pack and everything like that, and it was the summer, so you knew it was going to be warm weather. But then, you know, I didn't know if she knew where we were going. We ended up going to New York, but I think she thought we were going to New Orleans.
But that takes a lot of effort to pull that off.
And
Ryan.
I wouldn't
Good
be happy.
You.
Whatever you chose,
no
I wouldn't
where it
be.
Was.
I
wanted
know.
To go to New Orleans.
See, Jim would be like, oh my God, we're going back to St. Lucia, our first vacation together. That one I'd actually like.
Yeah.
But I could just see him going, oh, we're going to, I don't know, Vermont to go skiing or whatever. I don't ski, Jim, but thanks.
And then you go to Fort Wayne?
Yeah.
What's wrong with that?
That'd be my first choice.
Surprise stories are lining up. Did it work for you? Did you surprise somebody successfully or unsuccessfully? 312-981-7200. We'll take your calls and your texts in a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, Bill was surprised. His daughter Kylie came home to surprise you for the weekend. You had no idea.
It's fall break, apparently. I don't think they had fall when we went to school. That's a new concept. So she's in, we were in a restaurant. Had no idea she was going to be there. She just showed up.
And you're not one for surprises, but this was a very
this
good one.
This was a great surprise.
All right, Ted, who'd you surprise, Ted?
I surprised my wife for a 30th birthday party.
And what'd you do?
We're big fans of Dick Van Dyke, and there was an episode where he tried to figure out his surprise party, and then Laura throws it at 6 a.m. when he gets out of bed in his pajamas. And I did the same thing. We were out till 2 o'clock the night before, and then I faked going to work. I said, my car wouldn't start. Come on downstairs. You got to drive me to work. Stuffed her pajamas in her sweats. And there's 35 people in her house as she turns the corner and is surprised.
How hard did she punch you after that, Ted?
You know, she didn't, because everybody had to come in their pajamas.
Oh,
so
that's so cute.
I was the only one dressed like normal, and everyone else came in their pajamas. They had cooked breakfast. Everything was there. But, you know, the hair was sticking up. The wrinkles were on the face from the pillow. And yeah, she was happy.
Well done.
That's an awesome, awesome idea, Ted. Good job. You're a great husband.
And then she said, no more surprises from here on out.
Well, thank you for sharing that. What a great idea.
You can't top that one. Whatever she said was true.
I thought he was going to say, and then she left me.
Yeah, never saw her after that day. All right, we've got more of your calls and texts. Do me a favor. If you can stay on hold, because we'd love to hear from you. We're at 312-981-7200. Ryan will get you the news, and then back to your stories of surprises that have gone right and gone wrong. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Thank you, Ryan. It's Bill Left and it's Wendy Snyder, part two of our show, the Wednesday show, 312-981-7200. If you want to call in or text in, we're talking about the element of surprise. Some people like being surprised, some do not. I usually don't, but they surprised me yesterday. My daughter Kylie came home from college. She's only in for the weekend, but I hadn't seen her in 2 months. A very nice moment.
That's a great surprise.
Yeah, it was.
But sometimes when you have surprise parties, I don't know if it turns out the right way. And have you ever heard of a surprise shower?
Mm-hmm.
You have?
Yeah.
Hi, Mary.
Hi. I didn't realize I could hate surprises until you said I could hate surprises. But I was at my husband, fiance at the time, made me go to his mom's, and it was the first nice day of summer, and I need sun. So I'm out there lathered up, getting a, you know, sun in my swimming suit. And my husband said, well, you got to go to this Tupperware party. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to any Tupperware party. He's like, you've got to, Mom. And I'm like lying there still. And this, and he's telling me the time. I'm like, not going, not going, not going. So finally he comes up and he says, you've got to go now. And I go, no, I'm not going to this. And he goes, they're expecting you. And I'm thinking, I'm going somewhere to a Tupperware party with 40-year-old women.
Yeah.
And I'm miserable. So I slam on my clothes over my swimming suit, pull my hair back in a ponytail. I don't even wash my face, no makeup. And I go over there, and it's a surprise party. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And I'm not even dressed, obviously. I see my sister there from Indiana. I'm thinking, she freaking drove up for this on this beautiful day.
For a Tupperware party?
Yeah. I am like 23 years old. Do I need a Tupperware party? So as I'm sitting there, I know there was one gift I liked, some baking thing, but I think I must have looked miserable the whole time because I was miserable.
So you didn't even pretend to be enjoying it. You just gave up on it.
I wanted to try to pretend, but I couldn't. I'm not a good pretender. And as my husband says, you know, you hold a grudge. Do you think you could let it go? And I'm like, no. And obviously it's been 30-some years and I bring it up all the time. I'm absolutely not.
Mary, you should say, I keep it sealed in, like Tupperware, and just stare at him.
That would have been great.
And then he'd have to burp you.
Yes.
Exactly. No, well, the pressure's building up. But no, then my 40th came around and I'm thinking, okay, I am planning this myself. No surprise party. So I planned this thing, going down in a limo. Everything is great. They told me afterwards that they're going to surprise me with a sleepover. And again, I'm thinking, a sleepover with 40-year-old freaking women?
No.
Absolutely not. So I'm so happy. Plan your stuff in advance so that you never have the surprise.
Absolutely.
That's the only advice I can give you.
Solid
that's great
advice.
Mary,
thank you.
We appreciate that. All right. Another surprise. Hi, Kim.
Wait, I'm changing. Hi, how are you?
Oh, hi there.
I had a wonderful 60th surprise birthday party by my husband. When I turned 59, I pointed a finger at him and I said, okay, you got 1 year to dazzle me. So I gave him a full year for this. And then I dropped it. I said, nothing. And then after my birthday's in October. I just turned 62, by the way.
Uh-huh.
And
happy birthday.
Thank you so much. I am a entertainer. I'm a singer. I've called you many times. I told you about thing for your throat. Yeah. So anyway, I about 6 months before my birthday, when I was 59, I got a phone call from a ladies' club who hired me to do a program for them on September something, whatever. And I spoke to the lady. I interviewed her. I found out what she wanted. I wrote a contract. She sent me a check. She paid in advance. Everything's all set. Now, the day of this party comes along, and my one sister, who lives in Colorado, flies in and surprises me at 7 o'clock in the morning and takes me to Wisconsin to see Buck Brannaman, that cowboy that from the movie Buck. Oh, my God, it was so great. And I thought, okay, that was my dazzle, but that wasn't it. So they invite us out to dinner, and I say, no, I can't. I have this show tonight, and she's already paid in advance, and I cannot blow it off and be wrong. So Candy says, okay, and she said, well, I'll come with you to your show. At least I can see it. So we get to the place, and there's stairs. I can't haul my equipment upstairs. And I go, oh, would you go find out if there's an elevator or something? I'm in my party dress with false eyelashes and looking hot. Thank God for that. And she goes in and comes back down and says, no, they're going to send some men down to help you with your equipment because there's no escalator, whatever.
Yeah.
And I said, she said, just go on up there. I'll watch your stuff until the guys come down. So I walk upstairs. Now, all my friends, the ones my husband could find without stealing my phone, jump out, friends, family, screaming, yelling, hollering. It's a party for me. And I said, does it mean I'm not performing tonight?
Oh.
We actually got my old boyfriend, Charlie, there and three other guys and had a little quartet. So I did perform.
Everybody
you performed and you had a surprise.
Perfect, Kim. That's perfect.
Thank you, Kim.
Oh. Wow.
I see you, Bill.
How about this?
How about this, Paul? How about this, Paul?
Hey, guys. I love you.
Thank you.
Love you right back.
Okay. I was planning a surprise shower for my wife for our first baby, and we'd lived in the townhouse, so I made up something about having a homeowners meeting at the clubhouse. Get it all set. Her friends are taking care of it. We go to church, and I pull in the parking lot. I'm wondering to myself, why the hell are all these people here so late? Because everybody was there already, and it didn't dawn on me. So we get back home, and I tell her the meeting is going on, and we walk over to the clubhouse, and I forgot that there was a time change. And we walked in as they were putting up the decorations.
Oh, no. Oh, you missed it by an hour. You were an hour early.
Only an hour, yeah, that was all.
That's all it takes, though.
Do you see why I'm late all the time? I want to give people time to set up.
You're on Indiana time. Wow.
Thank you, Paul. Did it turn out okay, though, anyway?
Well, we have two other kids, so yeah, I guess it was okay.
All right, that's good news. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Paul. And let's talk to Patty.
All right.
Hi, Patty. How are you?
Patty or Betty?
Betty.
Betty.
Oh, yes. Okay, good. I just had a surprise 80th birthday party for my husband back in June, like the day right before Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had to start planning it back in November because we have children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren that live way out of state, Texas, and blah, blah. I had to find out when the kids would be out of school. So I got that all arranged and set up the date and everything. And I was doing shopping ahead of time, and I was taking stuff over to my neighbor and my sister so that he wouldn't know anything whatsoever about it. And then it turned out he had to have a hip replacement like about 4 weeks before the party.
Surprise.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Well, then I got to talking to the therapist that had been coming to the house, you know, afterwards, and the doctor. We were the doctor only about a week beforehand, and I told him what was planned, and, you know, they said, well, as long as it's not too far away, he'll be able to, you know, go up there because it was about a 45-minute drive from our house. So yeah, all the kids came in. They had to stay at hotels and blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, it turned out perfectly. He
awesome.
Had absolutely no idea what was going on. My husband doesn't cry an awful lot.
Yeah.
He cried.
Did he? Sure.
That's so
his
sweet.
Kids came from out of town. We don't see them very often. And grandkids, and it was fabulous.
That's
we
perfect.
Got all these pictures, and just, I mean, everything worked out perfectly. Couldn't have asked for a better day.
You did it. You
and
made
how's
it
the
happen.
Hip doing, Patty?
He's doing good. He's doing real good. And I have to say, too, that the way this worked out the day before Father's Day, some of them, you know, they were staying overnight. So we got together the next day then, you know, celebrate Father's Day at the same time.
That's pretty sweet.
It was two in one, and it was fabulous. I love surprise parties myself. He can go either way, but I love throwing surprise parties, especially when totally unexpected like
yep.
that for him. It was well worth it.
Well, great job, Patty.
Thanks.
We appreciate
that.
Oh,
that's
I'm
Betty.
Sorry. That's right. God, Kevin.
I say this with all due respect, and I'm not saying that Betty's husband is too old for a surprise party, but I always wonder about a guy coming into a room
Don't say this.
Who's in his
Don't
80s
even.
Or 90s.
No.
And not expecting a surprise, and then you have all these people just yelling surprise at you. I don't know if that's in some people's best interest. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
You don't want to end somebody.
What
by
a way
yelling,
to go!
Surprise.
Well, I thought you were going to say have an accident, a potty accident.
Well, that
no, he means die.
I mean, gotcha. Have a heart attack. But both neither would be pleasant. But like if somebody said, "Hey, my grandfather's it's going to be his 89th birthday, and we're having a big 89th birthday." I would not yell surprise. I would whisper surprise as he came in so as not to startle him.
You're half
surprise.
Empty. That's what your glass is right
surprise.
Now. Somebody just texted, pulled off a double surprise party for my son and husband. They thought it was for the other one. They had to stall and bring the other person to the party. They both had to help. And they walked in and did not know it was theirs.
How do you orchestrate that?
That's awesome.
They didn't have a clue. That is really great.
Wow. So impressive.
Double surprise.
That's excellent. All right. We'll take a quick break and then more show, including later on, my best friend in the whole wide world, Grant Mulvey of the Chicago Blackhawks, joins us to give us a preview. Stay around. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. I think that commercial is
dated?
Outlived its... Yeah.
We were talking about
website.
That up here.
I think that commercial is no longer valid because that strike has been...
you know, it's not official. We just got an email that said that they're not going to officially vote for another week. So, you know, everything, the teachers are back. We know they're back in the classrooms. Everything seems to be happy, but, you know, there is still a chance that this thing falls through. So maybe they want to continue.
Keep running the commercial?
As far as we know.
Ryan, they just handed me this copy. They want to replace it with this. The Cubs battle the San Francisco Giants in a critical Game 5. Tune in, Cubs-Giants on WGN. That doesn't seem, that seems dated, too. I don't know if that's, well,
we'll just go to the cps.edu. I think that was the website. Go there and...
Well, I think they want you to go to Chicago Teachers Union.
Oh, well, then that's where, I don't even know.
Thanks for listening.
Great.
I didn't. I'll tell you right now. I just know the strike was averted at this point, and we have made officials aware of that. And because we keep getting texts every time that thing is played.
Right. On yesterday's show, we talked about a man who has become an international sensation through some very unlikely means.
Are you talking about Boney Maroney?
Boney Maroney. During the debate on Sunday night, a man asked a question about energy. That man's name is Ken Bone. For reasons I'm still kind of surprised about, Ken has become a huge, huge sensation, like I said. He was on Jimmy Kimmel's show the other night. I saw him on several cable news outlets yesterday, talking about himself and about energy, the importance of energy, and about his red sweater.
He's pretty adorable because he can really... laugh at himself.
He's really a sweet
person.
He totally gets that it's an unlikely celebritydom that he's entered into.
And yet he's loving every minute of it, which he should.
Yeah. He's even stooped so low as to say that he will appear on this show tomorrow. We're going to have Ken Bone on the show tomorrow.
I'm so excited.
I am too. I really am.
Do you guys remember the question he asked?
About energy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because he works in a coal mine. Going downtown, working in a coal mine.
Well, it's interesting because everyone was so focused on him, they didn't really talk about the question that he asked very much. And, you know, Hillary Clinton at one point said that we are energy independent. And
which is not true.
Not true. Yeah,
go to fact checker places and that is not true.
Yeah, that's not exactly true. Now, we're getting better. But that was an untruth. That was a Pinocchio.
Right.
Okay, and I just wanted all the Trump fans to notice that we mentioned that.
Yep, that we took a big shot at Hillary Clinton.
Take that, mama.
Take that. Take that, Miss Pantsuit. We got you. Now, do you know who wants to be a friend of Ken Bone?
Besides us?
Besides you and me and everybody on the planet.
Hmm. Barack Obama?
No.
Who?
It's a very unlikely. I would not have seen this coming, but Snoop Dogg wants to be pals with Ken Bone.
For what reason?
Well, they obviously have a lot.
Stashes weed in the red sweater? Yeah. No one will look. He's going to be his guy to carry it on an airplane because who would search Ken Bone?
Nobody would search Ken Bone. He blends in. Snoop Dogg took to Twitter on Tuesday to weigh in on the election topic that has taken the nation by storm in recent days. Not the much publicized leaked video of Donald Trump, but in fact, Ken Bone, the 34-year-old man who became an internet sensation after asking a question at Sunday night's town hall debate between the two presidential candidates. The rapper tweeted this: "Nice sweater, Ken Bone. You should get it in blue. Come to the crib and smoke one with the dog."
You know Ken Bone's going to go.
Well, he has to. It would be rude not to. He's been invited by royalty.
When the
dog sends an invite your way, you take him up on the offer.
Dog wants a bone.
Did you catch the...
Wait, Kevin, you stepped on my joke.
Sorry.
The dog wants a bone.
Please copyright that,
that
quickly.
That was funny, Wendy. When
please
you just
dial the copyright office.
Who do I call?
Copyright office. Call them immediately. What, Kevin? I'm
going to tweet that to Snoop Dogg right now.
The
doggy want a bone? Sorry, Kev.
Just walk over mine now.
No, I'll go, Kevin.
It's okay. No, I was going to say, did you understand why he said the blue thing?
Yeah, he wore a infamous red sweater.
Yeah, but why would Snoop want it to be blue?
Democrat.
No, I don't think so.
Because why?
Gang affiliation, I'm pretty sure.
Really? Is that true? Yeah. I didn't know that. Do you think Ken Bone is in a gang?
I think so.
I don't think he is. I'm almost positive he's
street hardened.
I might be.
So red is a gang color?
Yeah.
Or blue?
Both.
I think all colors are, depending on the gang.
Colors.
My
I like
gang,
that song.
I'm on the Benetton gang, so we have a united nation of colors. The message from Snoop is just the latest in a torrent of recognition that Ken Bone has received in the media since questioning Trump and Hillary Clinton about energy policy. There have been numerous memes about Bone quickly emerging.
A bone meme?
A bone meme. 10 years ago, if you had said that, they would have thought you were a witch. They would have said, we must burn her at the stake. She's using language that doesn't exist. He appeared, as I said, on Jimmy Kimmel's show on Monday night. He was very funny. I saw clips of it. He was very, very funny.
Very, we played some of it yesterday, I believe.
Chelsea Handler has some choice words for Ken Bone. At this past debate, while everyone was trying to figure out who they want to be the president for the next 4 years, I figured out who I want to be my lover for the next 40 years. I'm talking about this little cherry tomato in the picture of Ken Bone. That's so funny. That is very funny.
I got some bad news about him, though.
Oh no, what? Ryan, what?
He's a big St. Louis Blues fan.
Yeah, I know that.
I did. Yeah, whatever.
I know that.
Well, they're playing the Blues tonight.
I know what's going on, but then you can't put that past him. He lives closer.
He's in Illinois, but it's
like
much
closer.
Like
Belleville or something?
Yeah. Bellevue? Is that where he's from?
I think so. The
or Bellevue.
Dog.
Bellevue might be an insane asylum.
I'm tweeting Snoop Dogg. Will you zip it?
That's the longest I've ever heard Snoop Dogg say anything without a word that rhymes with izzle. Like, usually when you talk to him, he just goes, schnizzle my whizzle, snizzle my fizzle. And I don't know what he's talking about. But this time he actually made sense.
Does the dog have two G's?
Yeah.
The dog want a bone?
Yeah, put that in there and see what happens.
I'll bet you he tweets me back.
Now, here's what's happening at Snoop Dogg's house. You've got mail. All right, a little bit of a break. Ryan has the news, and then my best friend in the whole world is here, Grant Mulvey of the Chicago Blackhawks. He'll give us a preview of what we can expect this year from the Hawks. My guess is a good season. Stick
good
around.
Guess.
It's still in Wendy on WGN. People, let me tell you about my best friend. He's a warm-hearted person. Wendy, my best friend in the whole wide world, Grant Mulvey, is here. Grant and I just spent Canadian Thanksgiving together a few short days ago. We had a great time.
We did, Bill. Yes. Thank you.
It was a wonderful evening.
Thanks for bringing the cranberry sauce.
Did you enjoy it this year? Because last year it was runny. You said it was runny.
It was a little bit runny. No? This was much better
Thank
this year.
You.
Did you get the gelatinous can one this year to bring?
Yeah. Yes, we did.
That one's never runny.
Yes, we did.
How are you, Grant?
I'm doing great, Wendy. How are you?
Excited about Blackhawks season. Great news for the Cubs and the Cubs fans. I'm a White Sox fan, but I found it in my heart. I can't hate the Cubs anymore. This is such a great team, but I couldn't wait for the Blackhawks to start, if you want to know the truth, and that is tonight.
Yeah, well, first of all, the Cubs are a special team.
Absolutely.
They're very similar to the way the Blackhawks were in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have a great, you know, if you kind of look at the history of the Blackhawks, you know, they had to find their way to win. And they got beat in 2008, they got beat in 2009, in 2010 they won the championship. And the Cubs right now, you have to love the position that they're in. They're young, they have fun, they've got a great coach.
Absolutely.
They have a great management team. They've restructured their whole thing, and everything is you know, perfect to win and to keep players around and to really enjoy watching this team for the next 10 years. And hopefully we'll see a World Series out of it.
That would be
I
nice.
I hope so for you guys. Really. It's
well,
time.
For you guys.
Well, we could have two winning teams in Chicago. It's been a while, 05 since the White Sox. But
right.
We can have two teams in Chicago. Something has grown in me, Grant.
Yeah. Well, you know, you had to love the White Sox in 2005.
Yep.
They did it. And then the Blackhawks. And, you know, now let's hope the Cubs and the Blackhawks are the winning teams again.
And then
you know?
The Bears, Bill.
Yeah, that's close. That's very, very close. You know, I made the argument to Wendy the other day, Grant, that the Cubs have almost become baseball's equivalent of the Blackhawks for some of the reasons you just mentioned. But I've heard other people say that it's actually the Giants that are more structured like the Blackhawks, with the way they haven't been able to win the World Series every year, but they've staggered it like every other year for the last couple of years, similar to the Blackhawks.
Oh, yeah. I thought last night, watching that game last night,
yeah.
I was a little nervous. You know,
very.
They come back to Chicago and it's 2-2 tied. Anything can happen at that point, and for us to squeak it out. But isn't it amazing for us to win those games that we didn't win before?
Yes.
And that's just a sign. That, to me, is one more sign that the Cubs are special.
Yep.
And this is a special year.
Grant, I know you've played in other cities. isn't there something special about the relationship Chicagoans have with sports? I know there's other great sports towns around the country, no doubt about that. But the people who live here just kind of breathe the sports, don't they?
It is. It's a special, it's an extremely awesome city when you retire from the game and you make your living in this city. I've enjoyed this city for 30 years since I retired, and it's just a great city for former players to live in. And because of that, it makes it a great city, a great example of a young man that won a championship here, went off to a different city, and now is back, is Soupy Campbell. He wanted to play for the Blackhawks because he wanted to live in this city, and it's a great city to raise your family. It's a great city to live. It's super in the summertime.
Yeah.
And the wintertime, it's wonderful with the Blackhawks and the Bulls. And you know, look, we have Hamilton here that is just awesome. And the museums. I just had a friend of mine from Canada come and visit me, and she's big into museums. And she went to museums on top of museums, the photography museum. Just unbelievable. So it's really a special city that way.
Sure, sure.
All right, so tonight we have some new players.
Yeah.
They're like little babies.
Well, yeah, they are little babies. You know, it's really special, I think, what's going on again at the Blackhawks. They probably have 4 or 5 young players that are, and today Panic is in the lineup, Hartman's in the lineup, the guy with the H last name. I'm not going to butcher it that bad on radio here, but, and then there's a couple of guys that aren't going to make the lineup tonight that are probably going to start the season down in the minors. That's very good for them. Nick Schmaltz is one of them. I think he's a talented hockey player. I saw him last year in the NCAA finals, and they won it. He played for North Dakota, mm-hmm. and Nick was the star of the game. And he had a good training camp. He has to learn how to play defensive, the game defensively. And he'll be a marvelous star here with Chicago.
Grant, for these rookies, it's one thing to all of a sudden come into the NHL and play before a huge packed house like they do. But is there also something to the fact that all of a sudden you're used to playing minor league hockey and then you're on the ice, not just in a major league stadium, but you're playing alongside of Taves and Kane and Hossa and all these guys that are future Hall of Famers. Does that play into it a little bit too?
Oh, absolutely. You're intimidated. I remember getting on the ice my first year. We had an exhibition game against Hartford Whalers. And Gordie Howe was, he played left wing, and usually he played right wing. But he was on the ice, and he lined up against me. Davey Keon was the centerman.
Former Maple Leaf?
Yeah. And Johnny McKenzie was the right winger. And I looked and I said, I'm taking this one off. I'm just going to watch. These were three of my favorite guys, you know. So you have to, when you're playing the game, you have to, you know, take those steps, which are very important. And today, what I think they do better than ever is that it's a different lifestyle also. And you have to be better prepared. Wendy, you know, you have two young boys and you know, they have to learn to eat differently. They have to learn to prepare differently. They have to wash their own clothes. And
see, I can't imagine my boys doing any of the aforementioned stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And these guys are only 18, 19, 20 years old coming here. And so they have to learn that. And going to Rockford and it sounds so terrible to go to the minors, but it's a great place to learn all those fundamentals that will help you become a better pro.
Grant, it's been said before that of the four major sports of baseball, football, basketball, and hockey, the young guys coming up through hockey are far more appreciative than the guys in the other three sports just because of what they've had to go through to get to where they are. Do you see something in that?
Well, I certainly think that the hockey players come up a different way. They don't go to college, and they're not, or they do. Some of them go to college, but they come up a different way. They come up through the junior ranks. They're growth, if you want to say, from 12 years old on is quite different than football, quite different than basketball, and quite different than baseball. However, seeing the way the Cubs have, and Chris Bryant is just, to me, one of my favorite athletes out there. And he just, he's just the right kind of player. He's very much like Jonathan Toews. He's a great leader. He's a great player. And those guys came up the correct way. Mm. And so he parallels any hockey player, in my eyes, the way that he was raised and the way that he is performing today and how he looks, you know, just at the way Chicago and Chicago Cubs and what an influence he is to the community.
Sure. Yep.
We have to take a quick break. Can we continue talking with your best friend in the whole wide
oh,
world?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then we're
I want that
ride
recipe
bikes.
For those cranberries.
I can get you that recipe, Grant. Don't you worry. I have it with me. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then Grant Mulvey is here. We're talking Blackhawks hockey. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN, along with Grant Mulvey. Oh, sure, he's a Blackhawk great, but he, at the top of his resume, it says that he is my best friend in the whole wide world. Grant, we were talking about the Cubs and the Blackhawks and their relationship. I'm sure you saw this picture that the Blackhawks all took last week. It's a team photo, and they're all holding up a blue letter W and wishing the Cubs well in the playoffs. That was a class move.
Oh, it was. It was fabulous. And as I said earlier, Jonathan Toews and Chris Bryant, we're so blessed to have them in our city. Jonathan Toews, I actually texted Jonathan Toews after they won the Canada Cup, and the Canada Cup down here doesn't mean a whole lot. It's a new entry into exposure for the game of hockey in North America and worldwide, but in the international cities in Europe, the World Cup is huge. It's like soccer. And to win the World Cup, the first one they ever had, it's very special. And I texted Jonathan Toews and in congratulations, even though I'm a U.S. citizen now.
I know.
And you know what? His first comment was, thanks, but how are you doing?
Oh,
what a nice guy.
How's it going? How was the summer? Just unbelievable, unselfish. He's just a fantastic human being. And I don't know Chris Bryant, but I think that's the same kind of guy Chris Bryant is also.
Yep. You can tell. Yeah. There. That's excellent.
And I also mentioned, too, how the Blackhawks are and the Cubs are similar now. With the Blackhawks, everybody comments on how they're really a cohesive unit. They're all together. They care about each other. It really appears that this Cubs team right now is like that, too. You have some players that are better than others, but they're a team.
Yeah, they are really a team. And the Blackhawks formed their team. And when you think of teammates, there's not a greater teammate than Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook. Mm-hmm. And they were the original guys here. And we forget about that how many times. And when you think of Rizzo's been here for a couple of years longer than this team has formed. And it's great to see how he has done also. And he could be the MVP of the league this year on that one catch that he was on the, you know,
on the tarp.
But it's really formed into a great team. And Rizzo and Bryant and Toews and Seabrook and Kane, they're all such great leaders that I think teammates and become better, and they enjoy the team.
I told the story earlier in the show. They cut to the dugout yesterday, and there's a scene. The score is tied 1-1, and they show Anthony Rizzo watching the game in the dugout with his arms, each arm around a teammate. They're all watching, kind of huddled up together, and I went, that's cool. That guy's just having fun playing baseball.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah.
And to think of, you know, how their coach, I saw a picture walking or a video, the coach walking into the dressing room, and he had an outfit on that was unbelievable.
Right.
You know,
right.
And so the players are probably looking, going, if he's like that, I could be a little bit more flamboyant,
sure,
too. And that just brings out the character, and that brings out the creativeness of the player. And I think the Blackhawks did the same thing, and I know that the Cubs are doing it now, too.
Although you're not going to see Coach Q in anything flamboyant.
Probably not. Probably not.
He gets a little bit stretchy with one a colorful tie every once in a while.
Right. We had Doc Emrick in the studio with us yesterday because he came in town to call the game. And, Bill, you mentioned, are you surprised to see Andrew Shaw gone? I am shocked. I really am. I'm going to miss him so much. We all are.
He was a favorite. There's no doubt
definitely
about it.
Definitely fan favorite.
You have to really feel great where he went. He went to one of our former Blackhawks is Bergevin. Mark Bergevin is the general manager in Montreal. And Bergy brought Andrew to Montreal to create a little bit of that team, what we were just talking about, that leadership that Montreal really needed. And Andrew brings so many other things to a team, and we're going to miss him. We're going to miss that that little bit of fire that we need
little
every once
bit
in
of
a while.
Fire.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he was just fantastic, and to, you know, everyone remembers him taking one in the face and getting right back out there and playing. And that's the kind of leader that that's why he's got three rings on his fingers, and a lot of players want to chase him for that.
Such a spark plug. I mean, honestly,
really fantastic
all the time. All right, so what's the key? The Blackhawks have had several great seasons of late. What's the key for this season being another successful season, do you think?
I really think there's one major key with this team right now, and that's health. You know, you have to stay healthy. Patrick Kane has to stay healthy, and Duncan Keith has to stay healthy. And so they really need to be, blessed with good health and nobody hurt. And I think they'll do very, very well. I think their goaltending. Crawford doesn't get the notoriety that he really should get in
the
NHL.
He's one of the best goalies
without
ever.
Without a doubt. He's just fantastic. And I think that our defense with Campbell back in the lineup will be better. Our power play because of him will be better. Mm-hmm. And I think these young kids have to come and play. But I really think that our older guys, the guys that have been here a few more years, they have to stay healthy, and Duncan Keith and Patrick Sharp and Jonathan Toews and Seabrook, those guys need to stay healthy, and I think
Patrick
we'll have a great
Sharp.
Year. Or no, Patrick Kane. Sorry.
Okay. That was going to be the big surprise tonight.
Another guy.
And no Jalmerson tonight, correct?
Yeah.
He's out just tonight's game or two more?
One more on the suspension, right?
Yeah, I don't know how long he's out for, but he's out of tonight's game.
I will miss watching him.
Yeah.
He'll be back.
Go Hawks.
Soon.
I can't wait.
Yeah, absolutely. It'll be a great year. And I think the competition right now in the NHL is so equal. It's going to make for, when I played, you really had October and to get in shape and November to kind of get yourself. And then Christmas time, December was a lost cause. You had too much going on. And there's a lot of things, you know, you had to buy your the babies or your girlfriend something. And
right.
So you had things occupying your mind, you know. January, you got serious about playing hockey. And today, I think in the NHL, you have to be serious from day one.
Yeah.
And you get behind the eight ball in this league, and you might never find yourself back in it. Look at Columbus last year. They started so poorly with a fairly good team. But they just put themselves into a hole that was just incredible. And I think today, if you do that, you just will not be in the Stanley Cup final.
So true.
Their playoffs.
Thank you for being here.
Oh,
we always love talking to you, Grant. You know that.
Oh, so. I love coming here. And I love listening to you. I listen to you almost every day. And I love the stories.
Why not every day, Grant? Come on. Almost every day.
Some of these days, I have to work between 10 and noon and... And one and three.
No, you know, that's understandable.
Wow. Yeah. We love you. You're welcome anytime, even though you are Bill's best friend.
Yeah, in the whole wide world.
And we'll see you at the hockey game tonight, Bill.
It'll be great. Take care.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thank you, Ryan. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Roe and Anna will be by. Actually, they won't physically be in studio. They're at the United Center for game one of the Blackhawks season. Donald Trump was in Florida.
Who?
Donald Trump, he's running for the presidency. He's a Republican, and he's running for the presidency.
On his own, completely away from the Republican Party.
Separate from every other entity, Republican or otherwise, he is running for the presidency. And it's been, Wendy, a very controversial campaign.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Well, there's a couple of bits of evidence that would point me in that direction. Now, at this rally in Florida, he's in Panama City, and he wanted to make it clear to people that they needed to get out and vote, but I think he made a slight error. See if you can spot the error. It's very subtle, but see if you can spot the error. Listen to this.
Never been anything like this, so go and register. Make sure you get out and vote November 28th.
Hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. No. No,
let's leave it at that.
The election is November 28th.
Make
sure, go vote, Trump supporters.
Make sure you're out there and you're voting. And again, that date is November the 28th. Make sure you're out there voting. Now, on the flip side of things, his running mate is a man named Mike Pence. You've seen Mike Pence before. You know what he looks like. He used to help Johnny Quest and his dad fight crimes on Saturday mornings for a long time. Do you remember that?
No, that wasn't him.
That was not Mike Pence? I thought that was him. You sure? I think it is. All right, so Mike Pence, now I give him credit. I like what he did here. I don't usually give too many compliments to Mike Pence because we're on kind of opposite sides of the coin on many, many things.
Many issues,
but
I
give Mike Pence big, big props on this one. He's in Newton, Iowa, and a woman explains to Mike Pence that should Hillary Clinton win, she wants there to be a revolution, but listen to how Mike Pence handles this. He handles it pretty well, I think. Listen.
And I will tell you, just for me, and I don't want this to happen, but I will tell you from me personally, if Hillary Clinton gets in, I myself, I'm ready for a revolution because we can't have her in.
Yeah, you don't
say. But I'm just saying it. No, you know, I'm like Trump. You know, do I not speak for people here? Do I not stand between sides? Come on.
Yeah. There's a revolution coming on November the 8th. I promise you. There's...
Votes.
You can cut it there, Kevin.
Can I just tell you, this is what scares me more than anything in the world. This isn't funny. If Hillary Clinton wins, there are such...
That lady wants revolution.
And there are a lot of rabid Donald Trump fans that will say it's rigged.
Right.
I'm very frightened.
I think he handled it the best way he possibly could.
Mike Pence
could.
Did, yes.
You could see him physically, as soon as she says revolution... You see him kind of tense up a little bit, and he holds his hands out. He shakes his hand, and he goes, "Nah, you don't say that. You don't
That's
want that.
That's not what you want."
And I hope when she says that, she's saying it symbolically, because really if you've seen video footage or pictures of a revolution in any country, they're not pretty. So when she says that, I hope she means it symbolically, because it doesn't end well.
I don't think so.
One other quick Donald Trump story. But he did. I mean, he handled it, I think, as eloquently as he could.
Mike Pence is scratching his head right now going, what in the world did I agree to this for?
Yeah.
I mean, just at the debate when Donald Trump, when it was brought up what Mike Pence said about something, and Donald Trump said, I don't care. I don't agree with him. Those are running mates.
Right, right.
I just don't understand it. Somebody wants to know where the audio with Trump correcting his mistake is. I don't know what mistake they speak of.
No, he was right.
November 28th.
November 28th, you want to get out there and vote. Don't go early either.
No.
Go on the 28th, because they're giving everyone blenders. Did you know that?
I thought Flobies.
You get your choice. Would you prefer a Flobie or a blender? I don't care. Whatever you got, I'll take one. I like them.
I already have a blender.
Yeah, go with the Flobie then.
All right.
That's the best way to do it. And I'm sure they'll have the Chia Trumps. I'm sure they'll have boxes of those at the polling places on November 28th. So make sure you get one of those, too. Now, this other story is... This has been alluded to, but now there's a big story on the Huffington Post that talks about this. Donald Trump owns a bunch of beauty pageants. You know?
He still does?
Yeah. He still has a partnership in these beauty pageants. One of them is the Miss Teen USA beauty pageant. All right, that's one of them that is under the Trump umbrella, or the Trumpella, as it is never referred to as until
just
now. Great
band name, use it, people.
Trumpella. Listen to this story. This is published today in the Huffington Post. And tell me, on a scale of 9.8 to 10 how creepy this is. All right?
Okay.
While running the Miss USA teen beauty pageant, Donald Trump reportedly walked in on contestants as they changed in their dressing room, multiple contestants told BuzzFeed on Wednesday. The site quoted Maria Bellotto, a 1997 contestant from Vermont. Keep in mind again, folks, that this is the Miss Teen USA pageant, leading us to believe that these girls are teenagers. A 1997 contestant from Vermont who recalled having to get dressed really quickly, in quotes, because Donald Trump had entered the room. Girls were just scrambling to grab stuff, she added. Bellotto paraphrased the GOP's presidential nominee as saying, now this is in quotes again, "Don't worry, ladies, I've seen it all before." When she first learned that Trump was running for president, she thought, oh, gross. This guy walked in on us in the pageant.
Oh, gross. Spoken like a true teenage girl. Oh, gross.
Right. BuzzFeed said that three other women also remembered Trump entering the changing room while the contestants, some as young as 15, were in and out of their clothes. However, 11 other participants said that they could not recall such intrusions.
Why would he go in there?
Well, there's another quote from him in another story that says that when you run something like this, you're entitled. You can kind of just go where you please. When it's your pageant, you have carte blanche to just go wherever you want. It's yours.
But why would you want to go in there?
Pervy guy, naked women. That's why. Trump is embroiled in controversy over his lewd remarks about women. I was not aware of that until just now.
November 28th.
That's your election day. Both in multiple interviews on Howard Stern's radio show and as caught on a hot mic moment on the set of Access Hollywood by being a peeping Tom with retrospect to teenage girls who would take the lascivious streak to an entirely new dimension, however. In light of the BuzzFeed story, however, it's worth recalling what happened with the Miss Teen USA pageant once Trump sold it to the talent agency WMEIMG. The controversial swimsuit portion was abruptly dropped, with organizers quickly concluding that it was unseemly and explosive to teenage girls walking around in only bikinis. They replaced it with an athletic wear competition. So when he was in charge of the contest, that was, and you can't blame the swimsuit competition on Donald Trump. That was a staple.
I blame that on Burt Parks.
On Burt Parks. He demanded that they do it. He said, I won't do it.
Show me some gams.
Right.
That's what he said.
That was his quote. He demanded to see some gams, and he said, and if you don't show them, I'm not going to be your host. And who are you going to get? Because Tom Bergeron's only 2 years old. So good luck to you. Good day, sir.
And give me the gams.
Give me the gams, said Bert Park.
Did it start out as one-piece bathing suits? It did, didn't it?
I think, yeah, when the pageant first started out, I don't know if bikinis were even a thing yet.
Yeah, I don't think that you could wear them in public.
Right.
I really don't.
But what better way? I mean, I guess, you know what? I'm backtracking on myself. It is called a beauty pageant because I know they're trying to celebrate women and women's achievements, but...
Then don't call it a beauty pageant.
Right.
Call it a talent competition.
Right.
There's something better, too.
What else?
I can't think of a good word. I know what I'm thinking.
I know,
but it's
what you
not,
mean.
You know, like accomplishment,
right?
Achievement.
But I guess
if you're gonna
call it a beauty pageant, I guess you can say, well, part of beauty is how a woman's body looks, so that needs to be part of the pageant.
Then Rob Lowe should be involved. He should be in it. He's beautiful.
He is beautiful. But if Rob Lowe won the Miss USA pageant, people would think the fix is in.
No.
Burt Parks would come back and go, did you see the gams on Rob Lowe? Are you kidding me?
Even they're nicer than a lot of women I know. A lot of dames.
A lot of dames I know. There she is, Miss America.
You know, right. You quoted something from the Howard Stern show, and then during the debate, Hillary was saying how, Donald, you were for the Iraq war, and he's like, nope. Nope,
but
you're wrong.
He does say it on a Stern. There's a Stern tape where you can. It's him. He's saying it.
Okay, but now listen to me.
Yeah,
this is a presidential election, and we are quoting things heard from the Howard Stern show. What is wrong with this year's election? Really?
Oh, I don't know. All right, a quick break, and then more gams. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
28th.
November 28th.
I don't know. Can we go to the tape of Donald Trump again?
Get out and vote, everybody. Donald reminds us that November 28th is the day that you need to vote.
All right. We will hear it from him in a moment. I thought it was a different date.
No. It's the 28th.
All right.
If you're Trump fans.
Donald.
A little asterisk in history. There's never been anything like this. So go and register. Make sure you get out and vote November 28th.
All right.
Just wanted to clarify that.
Mm-hmm.
Chip's on the line. Hey, Chipper, what's going on?
Hey. Oh, not much. Just pulling out of the Trump rally in Ocala, heading back to the villages in Florida. And I tell you, unfortunately, up in Chicago, you guys are never going to get these rallies because the state of Illinois is a done deal.
Mm-hmm.
The rally started at noon. I got there at about 10:30 and still had to park 2 miles away.
How many people would you say were there? How many people?
Well, the facility holds 10,000, and there was triple the number of that outside. And
all for him or any protesters at all, Chip?
The only people I saw that were anything but Trump supporters, and I don't mean to sound offensive, it was Hare Krishnas. They were going around playing drums and handing out religious pamphlets.
Oh.
They're not on his side?
No.
No.
They didn't say whose side they were on. They just wanted to hand out the pamphlets and chant a little bit. Did not see Hillary sing one. The line was easily a mile long, and then it was weaving back and forth. And I had tickets. I still didn't get in. And unfortunately, those of us that were standing next to the fence, because we could see the podiums, when Trump was pulling in, they pulled trucks in front of the fences, because anybody inside the fence had gone through Secret Service. Outside hadn't gone through Secret Service, so I think the effect was to block the podium. And another crazy thing that happened, an airplane was flying over with a banner advertising something, and some military aircraft came by and told him pretty much to get out of Dodge.
Oh.
This, I presume it was a no-fly zone. But he was flying around with a banner, had some web address on it. And very shortly thereafter, the jets came by. And it looked like they were escorting him away.
And where are you located right now, Chip?
I'm living, I moved out of the Chicago area to the villages, Florida, about 6 months ago.
And are you a Trump supporter, or were you just curious and wanted to go to the rally?
Trump supporter, because for me it's the lowest common denominator. I mean, I'm not voting for Trump. I'm voting against the other party.
And you're okay with Donald Trump being our president, the face of America?
As compared to the other option, yes, that's without question.
All right.
But plus I work in healthcare, so I'm a little biased.
No, maybe. All right.
Well, Chip, thanks for letting us know what happened at the Trump rally today. A lot of people were there.
Oh, one more crazy thing. A lot of the people that were there had come in on a bus from Panama City and then were leaving on a bus to go to the next rally that was like an hour and a half away. So these counts of how many people go to the rally, a lot of them are literally just hopping rally to rally to rally.
Yeah.
Boy, well, I can think of a better couple hours to spend my day than going bus to bus, rally to rally.
Oh, me too. The other odd thing, the reason I left when I left, there were no garbage cans or porta potties anywhere. The Secret Service had banned the porta potties and removed all the garbage cans. So anybody that had to go, you literally had to go. You had nowhere to go. I saw two women urinating in a bush. And, you know, what was your other option?
I don't know. I'm waiting for a Baba Booey here any minute.
There's nowhere to go.
Do you know that?
It's symbolic of the country. There's just nowhere to go.
The world's toilet bowl.
Chip,
you as well.
Don't forget, November 28th. Get out and vote.
Well, to clarify, Jim wants to clarify. Hi, Jim.
Oh, hi, Wendy. How are you doing?
Good. You'd like to clarify the voting day?
Well, you know, there's so many people in the world that listen to you guys religiously and do everything that you say they should do. So you might want to make it clear that November 28th is the date that Donald Trump wants all his supporters to vote.
Great point.
But that anyone else can vote on November 8th or earlier. In case they want to.
That is a very strong point. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
Let's
appreciate
make that clear.
And I was also kind of shocked about that other caller who talked about women urinating on a bush.
Yes.
I know he's low energy, but you'd think he would have moved.
Good God.
That's not funny.
Jim, that's hysterical.
People should not laugh at that.
All right, we got to take a break and say hello to Ro and Anna, who are live from the United Center. Low energy, I love it.
All right, a quick break and then that. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.